real change for our children and our future.
Jeff! Justy! Oi! Oi, I'm going to get the child! You're all on camera, mate.
Because today, I can announce that the government will ban access to social media for all children under the age of 16.
Can you please put your hands up, those of you who welcome the ban? Hands up for those who welcome the ban. So this just gives you an idea. I think it's pretty fair to say that most of these students there, 11 to 14, most are pretty disappointed with the ban. Let's just come over to you, Isabella. Tell me how you felt when you heard the Prime Minister say no more social media for you.
I didn't think it would actually happen. I kind of believed that he'd chicken out of it and give it more time or more consideration, but he seems pretty sure of it, and I'm not sure if I agree with him.
Government is always about choices, and it's clear to me that a full ban is the right choice. Now, I come to it as a parent myself. I know exactly the fears that we all feel when we're thinking about this issue.
A shadowy secret spy unit inside the government is being accused of being used as a propaganda tool to control the public. This has been spoken about a couple of times before, but I don't think anyone has broadcast it nationally. And if it's true, it is terrifying.
You know, all I've ever wanted for my own children, hand on heart, is for them to be happy and for them to be safe.
In a brazen power grab disguised as child protection, UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer has unleashed one of the most authoritarian digital lockdowns in Western history, banning all under 16s from major social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, X, and beyond. Oddly enough, Starmer will not be banning the leftist toxic cesspool Blue Sky. This so-called Australia Plus regime, set to roll out by spring 2027, demands invasive age verification, facial scans, digital IDs, and big tech enforcement, backed by multi-million pound fines. While Starmer preens about shielding kids from his bloated harms.
These days, kids have to find their feet in a world that changes so quickly, where technology intrudes into every area of their lives. And we know that harms them.
So, the social media thing with Keir Starmer, not 1% of me thinks this is coming from a good place. He's not helping kids in education. He's actively closing schools and limiting opportunities to kids. He is actively giving companies money to give jobs to young people from abroad rather than young kids in the UK when we're seeing record levels of youth unemployment. He's not helping kids get fitter. There's no more sports in schools. He's not helping them with good nutrition and advice. He's always pushing medication.
The real endgame screams louder than any TikTok algorithm, eroding parental authority, funneling youth toward state-approved echo chambers, and paving the way for broader censorship under the guise of protecting the vulnerable. Time to wake up, Western civilization. This is the soft tyranny of the nanny state morphing into full digital Orwellian dictatorship. John Bowne reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
We are unified by our spirit that God made and our connection to the Creator and the universe and our children. And this is the genesis point of the new revolution of information.
I will always believe, and I will always say in public, that Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met.
I'll tell you, that f***ing guy is right about a lot of shit.
Alex Jones has been right a lot of times.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
Fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock.
AlexJones.network is tomorrow. for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at the AlexJonesStore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the War Room. I am your host today, Rex Jones. Looks like I might be here more this week as well. Thank you for joining me. I want to remind you to repost, reshare, live link, live feed, retweet it on Twitter at AJN Live. We're going to have a great show for you today. I'm going to be joined by Suleiman here in a little while, and then I'll be joined by Alex Stein possibly in the third hour, possibly taking your calls as well. You're going to want to stay with me here, and like I said, follow AJN Live on Twitter. Very important. But today is one of those days where things have stopped being static. So I get that everyone gets tired of the war. I'm already tired of it too, being pro-peace, anti-war. I demand that it all end now and that all our troops come home, that we disband all our bases, and that we get ourselves the hell out of that region, declaring victory and going home, as Joe Kent so often says. But how do we get there? How do we get there? There's going to be an MOU, according to Trump. There's going to be a peace agreement, some sort of deal. I've got a bunch of crazy clips of him talking about the nuclear dust and possibly excavating that still in the future. He's still on that. It seems to be almost more for psychological purposes. But the thing that's really important to understand, and I just want to remind everybody at home so we don't get gaslit here, the Strait of Hormuz was open before the United States and Israel closed it in an illegal war of aggression on Iran. So we're just trying to get back to where we were, okay? And we're going to get into why this is a big deal and why this is a great victory if it goes through, if Trump is actually able to stick to his guns and extricate himself, which I'm not sure he's going to be able to do. We're going to get into that. I want to express to people on the MAGA side, on the MIGA side, on the Israel First side, I want to express to those people, I want to be a little herald today and knock on the door like the Grim Reaper in that meme and let you know your coalition is dead. Because we're seeing Trump, even though he might not be successful, try to extricate himself or trying to extricate himself from this situation. And we're seeing the crash out. We're seeing the Israelis blow up. We're seeing Ben-Gavir come out there. We're seeing Naftali Bennett come out there. We're seeing all of them come out there. His approval rating in Israel, the thing that really matters to him, it was like plus 25%. Now it's like minus 27%. So we're going to get into all of that and more. I want to roll Trump. I want to roll this clip of him telling the truth, okay? And this is the truth that everybody knows, that everybody is fully aware of. Looking for my clip list. I need to get another one. I want to go ahead and play this one. Trump criticizes Israel's methods in Lebanon. You don't have to knock down an apartment house every single time. And this is a key point that we've made. Hey, they say, there's a Hezbollah, Mark Levin, there's a Hezbollah terrorist inside that building. We have to kill 100 innocent people. And it's like, no, that's not how war works. Not how the law of war works. You're not supposed to just murder civilians willingly whenever you want. Let's go ahead and go to that clip, and we have it because it's truly insane. This is Trump expressing the truth that we all know. The truth we know about Gaza, truth we know about Lebanon, truth we know about Iran as well, with the school we blew up there. We target innocent civilians and we wash it away and call it collateral damage. The rest of the world doesn't like us doing that. And until now, they haven't really had a means to tell us no. Well, Iran is telling us no, ladies and gentlemen. Do we have the clip?
Does not like them. And I'll tell you what, Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long and too many people are being killed. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody, because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses and they're not all Hezbollah, that I can tell you.
I mean, what else do you want to hear?
You know, like those elementary school students that we murdered and their teachers, they weren't Hamas, they weren't Hezbollah, they weren't IRGC. You know, it's the same as he's talking about here. Please stop killing innocent civilians in Lebanon. And there's a longer clip where he also goes, you know, I saw what happened. They used drones and the response to that attack, it was very nasty or whatever he said. He called out Netanyahu directly and paraphrasing, he called it unwarranted, called it excessive, called it grotesque. And if you're recognizing it in one aspect of what we've seen so far, why aren't you recognizing it in every other day that you've signed off, looked away, washed your hands of whatever's happened across the Middle East? And you got to keep in mind, this is the one president that we've elected that claimed to have a grasp of human life and claimed to not want people to die and claimed that he wanted no new neocon wars in the Middle East. We're going to go ahead and go to more of these clips here. Go to clip number two, where he says he doesn't believe in regime change. Well, you certainly believed in it when everybody said we would be able to do it in 24 to 48 hours. The initial goal of this war stated to everyone and stated over and over again in between the lies of Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. We must disarm Hamas and Hezbollah. That was not the reason for the war. The reason for the war was not symptomatic. It was the disease, to address the disease, talking from the U.S.-Israeli Empire perspective. They're being threatened in the region by another peer power in the Levant. What are they going to do? They are going to affect a color revolution. They are going to affect a regime change. They're going to do what they did in Libya. They're going to do what they did in Syria. They're going to try to do what they did in Iraq and fail to do. Same thing with Afghanistan, failed to do it there as well. They're trying to do it to Iran because, as Wesley Clark outlined in the early 2000s, seven countries in 5 years, this is what they do. This is what they do. So go play the clip.
Done an amazing job of pulling it together. He's not a Boy Scout, but he's done an amazing job of pulling it together. And he is very good with Hezbollah, does not like them. And I'll tell you what, Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long and too many people are being killed. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses and they're not all Hezbollah, that I can tell you. And I suggested to Israel to let Syria take care of Hezbollah.
Pause it. Okay, so what does that mean? It sounds all nice, you know, friendship is magic, super friends, Teen Titans Go, you know, our good old buddy Syria. Syria is going to come on in and help us out. I'm doing my George W. Bush impression. Do I sound good? Do I sound like George W. Bush? We're going to bring him in. We're going to bring the moderate rebels again. I want to give people a history class, a little bit of a refresher. I know if you're watching this program, humor me, you're probably even more educated than I am, but let's break it down a little bit. Al-Julani changes his name to Al-Shara, meets with our president as the new, I guess, president himself of Syria. How does he get there? Al-Shara, formerly Al-Julani, is the former regional head of Al-Qaeda in Syria, okay? He gets thrown in an American prison or black site for 5 years. He comes out reading the New York Times and speaking perfect English. And during the Russia-Ukraine war, people got to keep in mind, a lot of people say, well, total strategic failure, no reason for us to be in that war, whatever. Yes, it doesn't make sense for America, it doesn't make sense for Europe, but if you look at the Russia-Ukraine war in the context of the Middle East, it was the Russia-Ukraine war that made the Russians unable to support their ally Assad, Bashar al-Assad in Syria, right? So you have Al-Julani, he comes out of jail, he's given access to these loosely organized 300 terror cells, or I heard somebody report on Judge Knapp, I know that it's true, so I'm just going to say it, 300 terror cells that all speak with translators and are run by teams of translators. Huh, who runs teams of translators that work with terrorists? Would that happen to be us, or MI6, or the Mossad? That sounds more likely. So basically, we've got this puppet state in Syria that we've taken over. They've ceded land to Israel, the Golan Heights. Israel has been loosely, again, friendly with them and whatnot. Now we're seeing that's over. Okay. And Trump is going to try to bring the Syrians, or I guess, not really the Syrians, but Al-Julani and his, terror cartel gang in to finish the problem, that Bibi Netanyahu and, Ben-Gvir were unable to, complete the objective on. So what is that going to look like? Keep in mind, Al-Shara Al-Julani is not some quiet, simple guy that reads poetry and watches the Harry Potter movies. Al-Julani is a brutal head chopper who has killed thousands, if not tens of thousands, of Christian, Shia Muslims, and other religious minorities such as Alawites, wiping the sweat off his brow. He doesn't care about human life. He doesn't care about anything. Oh, Assad. Oh, the human rights abuses of Assad. Bashar al-Assad. Oh, so evil. Oh, so evil. Look at photos of Assad and his wife, and then look at photos of Gulani and his wife, and Gulani's wife is wearing not even the hijab, respectfully, she's wearing the full burqa. Okay? So we witnessed a transformation from a multicultural, secular country where people are allowed to practice their religion, whether it be Shia Islam, Christianity, the Alawites, or whatever. We see that going away from that into now it is only Sunni, it is only his theocratic cult, and he is a new, you know, terrorist dictator. But he is one that comes to the White House. Go ahead and get a photo of him at the White House with Trump up, and Trump shakes his hand and goes, wow, this guy really smells amazing. What kind of perfume does this guy use? Let me tell you, it's true. I'm not even joking. Okay, I'm not even, look. So, moderate rebels, you know, we always back the peaceful people. It's a good thing that al-Shara is now, or al-Gulani, excuse me, is now in charge. And remember, if somebody tries to gaslight you, if someone tries to tell you, oh no, man, that's al-Shara, he's a good guy, that's al-Gulani, Christian murderer, Muslim murderer, minority murderer, that's who that guy is. So when Trump says that we're going to bring in the Syrians to fix the problem, how do you think the Lebanese people feel about the prospect of having the al-Qaeda and terrorist leader, al-Gulani, come into their country with 300 terrorist cells to rape, murder, torture, and steal? You think maybe they're not going to like that? You think maybe Iran, as the leader of the Axis of Resistance, is not going to like the brutal terrorist activities of the radical, anthropomorphous, Salafi, Sunni Muslims? You think they're going to enjoy that? I don't think so. So here's the thing. I got a ton of clips for you guys. I have Suleiman coming up, leading geopolitical analyst, literally talks to everybody. I'm going to get to everything today. It's crazy how I come in here and I'm like, oh, dude, I got to do a 3-hour show. And then I realize I don't have enough time. I don't even have enough time here. I could do a 12-hour show. I could stream all day talking about this stuff. I talked about it this morning and it's just refreshing my memory now. The cool thing about Suleiman is he talks to geopolitical analysts of all stripes, of all backgrounds, of all different career paths, and all different nationalities as well. We're going to get a full spectrum picture from him. Here's the thing. Here's the debate. And I've been on Moral Resistance. I've been on his channel. I've been on other people's channels and spaces as well talking about this. Is a peace deal even possible? What does a peace deal even mean? Sure, there's an MOU. Sure, there's an opening of the strait. Sure, there's a relief of sanctions, whatever. In any world where Donald John Trump has to give the Iranians more money than Obama, that will be used like a cudgel to beat him over the head into submission, and it'll lead to a situation where peace is impossible. And we've reached a situation already where peace is impossible. That's why we're at the negotiation table, is because we're realizing with the way that we're currently operating, we cannot enforce our strategic interest in the region at all anymore. That's why we've sued for peace, by the way. We need that strait to be reopened. It's only closed for us. It's closed for us and our allies in Israel, okay? So we need that open. The rest of the world, you know, they've been making their own arrangements. They've been figuring things out. It's hurt them. Sure, but it's hurting us more. And you can bleed your reserves and do whatever with the petroleum. It all runs out eventually. So with all that being said, is peace actually possible? Are the Israelis going to allow Trump to back out and leave? I just watched the leader of the opposition party, I believe his name is Naftali Bennett, or maybe another guy, I don't want to slander anybody, say that, yeah, Netanyahu is not going far enough, and that when I go in, I'll promise to destroy the Iranian regime and all that. And the thing, sorry, with whose military, man? Look at this. Stop this terrorist, Mohammed al-Gulani. Go ahead and click back on that. Wanted for $10 million. $10 million. Crawls into a CIA black site, U.S. prison, whatever it was. They shave that guy. They take him to a Brooks Brothers or Joseph A. Bank, and he becomes the maitre d' of the Golden Corral. Trump told Iranian protesters help is on the way, but the peace deal leaves the mullahs more powerful than ever. Yup. It's almost like we could never win and we solidified the hardliners. It's almost like we killed the guy that banned the nuclear weapon in 2003. Like turbo, never go full retard stuff that we're dealing with here. And just to get back to what I'm trying to say earlier, like, is it possible to end all this? No. No, it's not, because any concession, any deal you give them, it's not that we wouldn't say it's fine. I would say it's great. I would say, come on, like, I'm ready for it, whatever. Make the gold states pay. It is what it is. But you can't do that because of Israel, because of the media infrastructure, because of how they'll beat the old man into submission in the head over and over and over again on this problem. The only solution is what Joe Kent says. Just declare victory and leap. We're the greatest nation on earth. We have all these nuclear weapons. Why can't we go? Why can't we get out of there? It would be nice to get out of there soon rather than later. We can just pick our asses up and leave. It does not have to be that complicated. Look how sick that terror storm graphic is. Man, Austin, if you're watching, Austin's kind of my Rob Dew producer. Austin, if you're watching, we need stuff like this. Edited by Rob Jacobson, the Weasel. Visual effects. Wow. Wow. Very, very cool that y'all threw that up. But yeah, is a peace deal possible? Is it more war? I lean towards more war. People like Larry Johnson and Pepe Escobar, geopolitical analysts who are basically never wrong, who I really respect. There was talk a couple weeks ago, and this is how fast news moves right now, by the way. There was talk like a week or a week and a half ago that Iran had gotten the bomb or had acquired the bomb and let Pakistan know via unsecure line. That means the rest of the world knows as well because we spy on everybody. And that's what caused, you know, more of the positive attitude from like the Trump administration and whatnot, and kind of a softening of the U.S. tone. I don't know if I believe that anymore. Because like, I think if that was true, we would have told the Israelis about it. And I think if the Israelis knew about it, they would have already nuked Iran. So maybe that's why we didn't tell them. You know, who knows? The reality is we as the greatest country on earth should be able to call the shots and have our own manifest destiny. We shouldn't be the junior partner waiting on a nation of 9 million people to tell us what to say. And this is also what I wanted to get into. The state of Israel is like between like 9 and 11 million people, however many people it is. Isn't that ironic? Between 9 and 11 million people. Okay. They're over there. They're the biggest recipient of foreign aid from us. They're the biggest recipient of our missiles, our destroyed military infrastructure, our radar, all parked around them to protect them. All of it. You can look at the cost in a variety of ways. You can look at the $110 billion we spent on the war, plus the radar systems, 20 blown up, or between 10 and 20 blown up, between $300 to $600 million each. You can look at the, excuse me, a little burp there. You can look at all the munitions that we've expended as well. Just truly insane, ridiculous figures when it comes to all this stuff. You can't even quantify the real cost of it all. And we don't even care to do so because it's their military. It's not ours. We're the junior partner. It is like something that belongs to you that you give to your little brother. And now they are trying to enshrine that into law. I'm going to go ahead and read this, but I've covered Section 224 before with Joe Kent and Anthony Aguilar. It's super important for people to understand. Right now, this is all voluntary. These are voluntary decisions. This is us saying, hey, you're our greatest ally. We will allow you to use our military equipment for XYZ. They are going to have their own Secretary of Defense equivalent, who's higher than everyone else at DOD, involved in that department managing the wars. And he only answers to the Secretary of Defense and the President once a year. And he doesn't answer to Congress. Congress has no checks or balances on it. It's like you're screwing the hooker and the hooker moves into your house and takes it over. That is where we are as a country, as a state. It's very, very disturbing. Go ahead and go to clip number three, which is me kind of referencing the Obama thing and Trump's obsession with Obama.
It's consequent.
I terminated the Iran nuclear deal. Barack Hussein Obama sold out Israel for Iran. He went to Iran. He sold them out. How anybody can vote for this guy or the party, the Democrat.
We're not voting for Obama, okay? It's not, when was the last time he was up for election? 2012? I really, really don't care. I really, really don't care. And the Democrats, the Democrats, ha, ha, ha. Have we not lost $110 billion, 13 American lives, and God knows how much more in radar munitions and equipment? And not to mention regional stability and our global hegemony, which has been thrown away in this war. We did to ourselves in 3 months what we claim we'd be able to do to the Russians in a year with the initial Ukraine thing. Oh, we're going to back Ukraine. We're going to deplete Russia's military. Are you kidding me? Look around. So that only applies to them and not us, because anyone I talk to that's pro-war, they claim Hegseth's a bad source, Rubio's a bad source, Pambani's a bad source, J.D. Vance is a bad source. We have infinite munitions, as many as we want, as many as required from the argument. All the images of war crimes and genocide you've seen are AI. Like, these are the arguments of the pro-war people, and you start to realize they're functionally insane. Okay, they're crazy, because what is the definition of insanity? Ladies and gentlemen, little pregnant pause there, let you think. My dad often, he'll do that. He'll just go, and I'm not even going to get into it. And then he'll say something again. And then you're like, whoa, I'm listening to it in the car. So I forgot what I was going to say there. Little brain freeze. What was I saying, crew? What was I saying? Y'all remember? I know y'all are listening to me. All right. Pro-war people. Yeah. Okay. All right. Just go ahead and go to clip five really quick.
So the Atomic Energy just reported that it was one of the most devastating bombings that they've ever seen. The whole mountain collapsed on top of it. And frankly, to go get it, we're going to go get it. But to go get it is a big deal, because they say only China and us have the equipment where you can even get. The whole mountain is collapsed on top. We have cameras on it. You could make the case, why are you even bothering? Because it's not really valuable. It's, you know, it's probably $500,000 worth. It's not very valuable stuff. But I think psychologically we're one together.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the thing I was saying earlier, the pro-war people will always make the argument that we achieve something with all this and remind them we achieved absolutely nothing that wasn't already happening before, right? We got taken into the conflict and we started the conflict as a result of that. It's like someone picking you up at your house and says, hey, do you want to go commit a bank robbery? And then you go get in the car. You're like, sure. So like, we're accomplices before and after the fact, whether we're the getaway driver or we're actually robbing the bank ourselves, which I would argue we are. What is the point of getting the nuclear dust out of Fort O, out of whatever, okay? Anyone you send to do that is, like, going to go die and get cancer and be, like, horrifically sick. It doesn't mean anything. They're not developing a nuclear weapon. They said they weren't. They said they maintain that as part of the MOU. You killed the guy that banned the nuclear weapon as well after bombing Fort O, Nahansk, and Isfahan. After bombing the three main nuclear sites, then we kill the guy that banned the nuclear weapon. Does that make any sense at all? That doesn't make any sense at all. It makes zero sense, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not designed to. Okay, it's not insane, or it's not sane, it's insane. Definition of insanity, like I was saying earlier, is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Every single time we spend more money in the Middle East, we're doing that. Every single time we send somebody off to die, we're doing that. Every single time we launch a missile, we're doing that. So why can't we try something different and take our bag and go home? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing dishonorable about that. It's a stop to the killing. It's a stop to the murder. Even if we mean to do good, it's like Israel has us blindfolded and we're thrashing around destroying people. Okay? So in that case, let's not play the game. It's a crazy game. The only way to win is not to play. And I want to remind you all, go to thealexjonesstore.com for the best in show water filtration, apparel, hats, t-shirts, supplements, you name it. And of course, wouldn't be the show if I didn't do my little methylene blue. It's time for methylene blue, Rex. What do we got here? What we got here in the bottle here? Look at that goodie right there. We got a little goodie right there. Wash that goodie down with some iced tea, and then I'm back in the game. I've got Suleiman joining me next segment. You can get the capsule, the liquid, the methylene red, whatever you want to get at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to remind people, we got best in show water filtration. I've always called myself, when women ask me what I do, and oftentimes I'll lie, I'll just say I'm a humble water filter merchant. I've been saying that since I was like 12 years old. You can be too. Go get one for yourself and the methylene blue. I'll see you next segment with Suleiman.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its business?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like six or seven times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that the U.S. never does it, but we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues,
We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking
system. And let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get-out-of-jail-free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire us funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation. Sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment the last 2+ years. And you just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
The Pentagon just cranked Israel's counterintelligence threat level all the way up to critical, the highest designation. Right there with our worst adversaries. U.S. officials are now using burner phones and staying tight-lipped in hotel rooms when they visit Israel because the Israelis are aggressively spying on top Trump administration people, digging for inside dope on decisions about Iran and Lebanon. This isn't some rogue operation. It's all coordinated. Hyper-aggressive espionage from our so-called closest ally. Jonathan Pollard-style damage from the past should have been a warning. But here we are again. Americans are rightly asking how an ally that spies on us at this level gets treated like family.
With me, I don't care if you start throwing nukes immediately, responsibly, but immediately. And a case that I've been pushing is the use of an electromagnetic pulse weapon or weapons against Iran. Why are we waiting to get hit?
That's Jonathan Pollard, the most famous Israeli spy in modern history, who sold out our secrets, got our agents killed, you name it. He sold to the Russians, the Chinese, the Israelis, everybody.
Now remember, Trump pardoned him back at the end of his first administration. So now Israel's funding will be within the Pentagon in joint weapons development, but they're going to be allowed into everything and be able to claim co-ownership of the U.S. military-industrial complex that Eisenhower told us to beware the technological elite that control the military-industrial complex. So think about that. Then you've got 38 states that have passed laws or executive orders that if you criticize Israel anyway, or ever boycott Israel, or criticize Zionism, or what happened in Gaza, these are laws that you cannot have any government contracts or government jobs. Totally illegal, unconstitutional tyranny. And that's because Israel admits they're moving their weapons industries here to the United States. And so now if you criticize anything Israel's doing, you're shut down by the state governments, violating our First Amendment. You add that with the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, you got to read that for yourself. Total lifetime fusion integration of everything, from academia to DARPA to MIT to secret weapons development to live intelligence, telemetry, weapons guidance, weapons systems, everything. Remember, the other agencies don't even let each other know what they're doing. The other armed services branches are in competition and let them have their secrets. And that's good to keep things compartmentalized. This is, Congress doesn't even know 10% of what the Pentagon's up to. This is Israel's coup against America.
The real gut punch is what's happening in Congress at the exact same time. On the heels of the revelation of Section 224 slowly advancing, Senator Tom Cotton slipped Section 622 into the FY27 Intelligence Authorization Act. This thing locks America into permanent, unbreakable intelligence entanglement with Israel. It mandates expanded sharing, ties it to Israel's qualitative military edge, restricts the president or future Congress from scaling it back without jumping through huge legal hoops and notifying bought and paid for committees, and even pushes sharing with Abraham Accords countries. There will be no unwinding this. We are looking at intel fusion as a pillar of policy, handing over leverage that could bite us hard if relations sour. We'll find ourselves either towing the line for Israel or facing serious consequences. Meanwhile, the Pentagon flags Israel as a top spy threat, and lawmakers are wiring them deeper into our system. This isn't partnership. It's a one-way street that smells like foreign influence money run amok. America first means putting our sovereignty and secrets ahead of any foreign lobby. It's not optional, and it's a major insult on this 250th anniversary of our nation. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Let's hope we don't die in thermonuclear war. Let's hope our military isn't turned over to a foreign government. Let's hope Section 224 fails in the Senate, even though we've got 60 out of 99 senators are boomers. Let's hope that we actually have some sovereignty left as a nation. While we wait for Suleiman to join us of Moral Resistance, a phenomenal geopolitical analyst and host to some of the biggest talking heads and names that you hear of, whether that's Larry Johnson, whether that's Pepe Escobar, and many of these other champions of freedom and liberty in the modern information war, information age. I want to go ahead and get into the leak memorandum. Let's go ahead and pull this up for people. I want to read from it, and let's just pick this apart and see, you know, is this going to be something that a real MIGA, MIGA, Make Israel Great Again, is going to be able to ascertain or accept? Let's go ahead and get that up. Point number one, the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's all right, it's so hard. Come back to me. I swear I've been like getting possessed because I've been watching Mark Levin clips. I've been watching him in the car, listening to him in the car, and I've been working on my impression. I was like, my impressions are pretty good. I got a good Trump. I got a good Bill Clinton. I got a good Joe Biden. I got a good Bush. And now I have a good Mark Levin because I've been listening to him because it's been cracking me up. But it's kind of been possessing me and taking me over. When I think about Hamas and Hezbollah and how American soldiers won't go fight and die for Israel, it gets me really upset. But I'll go ahead and read it without doing the Levin impression. This is the MOU leaked as we understand it. It could be wrong, but I'll read it. Point number one. The Islamic Republic of Iran and the United States, together with their allies in the current war, declare upon the signing of the MOU, understanding and immediate and permanent into the war on all fronts, including Lebanon. Okay,
So there's been, we'll pick it apart line by line. So there have been a lot of bones to pick. There have been a lot of kvetching from Mark Levin and other types over Lebanon. I would say to this, because this is apparently just a peace deal between the U.S. and Iran, not the U.S. and Israel. Aren't the Israelis the ones that are blowing up Lebanon? Isn't that already not us? So if this is just a deal between Iran and the U.S., then why would you even put Lebanon in there? We're not invading Lebanon right now. So I think the narrative, and I got like a Jerusalem Post article here, Israel not mentioned in reported leaked draft of U.S.-Iran deal. I think that's BS, even if it's not directly stated, because you don't say that. An immediate and permanent end to war or to the war on all fronts, including Lebanon. And then, it's Netanyahu, it's the Israelis, what are you going to do? I'll keep reading it. And undertake that from now on, they will not launch any hostile action against each other and will refrain from the threat or use of force against each other. The final agreement will confirm the provisions of this article and the remaining articles. Point number two, the Islamic Republic of Iran and the United States undertake to respect each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity and to refrain from interfering in each other's internal affairs. Oh, no more color revolution? No more flying in the Starlink and giving the people missiles and guns to overthrow their government? No more of that. No more of Lindsey Graham's 1776 option? I guess not. Point number three, the Islamic Republic of Iran and the United States undertake to negotiate and reach a final agreement within a maximum period of 2 months, extendable by mutual consent. So this is probably going to end up being like an armistice if this does actually go through. And I want to talk to Suleiman about this. Is he there? Do we have him? We got Suleiman? Okay, I don't know what's up there. I want to talk to him about that. I want to understand that. Point number four, immediately upon the signing of the MOU, the United States will lift the naval blockade and prevent any interference or obstruction against the Islamic Republic of Iran and restore traffic within a maximum of 30 days to its full capacity. The traffic of ships shall be proportional to the pre-war volume of traffic on the part of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The United States also undertakes to withdraw its forces from the surrounding areas within 30 days after the final agreement. So, sounds like the blockade's dead. You know, the thing we spend billions of dollars on a day, thing that's all, we got to do it to protect. It's only been hurting. And if we were gone in the first place, they would have to open the strait anyway. You actually don't need this piece of paper. You can just go. And then the impetus would be on them. The world would see them as the villains and not us. And then we wouldn't have to pay $300 billion. Crazy. Point number five, upon signing the MOU, the Islamic Republic of Iran will immediately take steps to ensure the movement of merchant ships from the Persian Gulf to the Sea of Oman and vice versa is resumed within 30 days to the pre-war volume, taking into account the need for removal of technical obstacles. That means mines and neutralization of mines again by Iran. Number six, the United States undertakes together with its regional partners to create a comprehensive plan agreed upon by both parties for the rehabilitation. Oh, we gonna make it reparations, but we gonna make it like a donation. Rehabilitation and economic development of the Islamic Republic of Iran while ensuring financing of at least $300 billion. That's a Boondocks quote for you guys that are going to say that I'm racist. It's a joke. The implementation mechanism of this plan as part of the final agreement will be formulated within 60 days. So they going to get the money. We already spent the money. We already spent the machines, the munitions, the radar. All of that's gone. I am dubbing this the $500 billion war. Okay, or just the $1 trillion war for short. That's what this is. This is us looking at Obama, looking at Biden. This is Trump saying, I can do better. I can do worse. I can spend 10 times the money and 100 times less time. That's what all of this is. It's really embarrassing, guys. The United States, point number seven, commits to ending on a schedule to be agreed upon all types of sanctions currently facing the Islamic Republic of Iran, including resolutions to the UN Security Council and Board of Governors of the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, and all unilateral U.S. sanctions, both primary and secondary. That's because the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Association, they were spying on the Iranians and they gave targeting data to Israel during the 12-day war. So the Iranians are literally getting everything they want, according to this document. Nothing in here is for us. You know, go. Why would it be? Like, we don't have any interest in fighting this war. This is all against the interest of Israel, which is why you see the dramatic transformation in how Trump is being treated before and after the MOU came out and was declared. Prior to that, it was Heil Trump, the dear leader, can do no wrong.
You know, a lot of people out there, I think they know better than President Trump. They know how to do a better job than my president. I got to tell you right now, I support Donald Trump with all my heart. And then 5 seconds later, MOU comes out. Peace deal apparently agreed to. We're going to get out of there. Trump is being weak and he's being tricked by the Iranians. He's a scumbag, ladies and gentlemen. Like, that's literally how Mark Levin acts like he's entitled to a genocide. He acts like he's entitled to a war. I listen to him in the car now. I practice the impression. It's all true. Like, go listen to him. What was it that he said? He said something along the lines of Trump was the one that, or Trump wants nuclear inspections. The Iranians don't want nuclear inspections. We withdrew from the JCPOA and kicked all those people out of there. So that was Trump breaking the agreement and getting those people out of there, getting the oversight out of there already. They were not the ones that withdrew from the JCPOA. We were. So it's just a complete ignorance of history and the entitlement onto that as like it's a false justification for war. Like, yeah, they had nuclear inspectors. They were ours. We kicked them out of the country and then they spied on the Israelis and gave them targeting information. So I see him now. We're both wearing the suit. We're both wearing the suit. I don't know if he can hear me just yet. I've got Suleiman of Moral Resistance joining me. Suleiman, I tune in every day. I love it. I've been reading Larry Johnson's Substack on your recommendation. You've shamed me into doing that, man.
Yeah. He's brilliant, Larry is. Yes. If you're not following him, you're missing out on life.
Indeed, indeed. So we're kind of getting into all of it. I was talking about how I don't really believe in the prospect of the MOU because these agreements or these arrangements, as I'm reading through them, there's nothing outrageously offensive to the United States of America, but the U.S. is the junior partner. Everything in here is antithetical to the Israelis. There's nothing in here about ballistic missiles, nothing in here about the nuclear, nothing here about any of that. What do you think is the most contentious part of this MOU?
From America's point of view?
Yeah, just in general. You know, give me varying perspectives because you talk to everybody.
Yeah, I think when you look at this document, it basically is a surrender document by the United States of America and Israel. It's shocking how pro-Iran this document is.
Right.
Remember the leak that's come out from Axios? There's two possibilities. Either they've leaked this before the meeting on Friday because they want to pressure Trump into changing his mind.
Right.
Or this is really the document. Whatever it may be, this is so much in Iran's favor. It's unbelievable. So even in this document, they seem to be saying that they're going to allow Iran to have nuclear-enriched uranium for civilian use. I mean, this is a major concession because on February the 27th, Iran was willing to concede even that. And now this document is saying that they will allow Iran to have nuclear-enriched uranium. They're saying that they'll discuss other elements of it. Trump already conceded that he's willing for Iran to basically dilute the highly enriched uranium.
Right.
And I think the reason they keep saying dilution of uranium and keeping it vague is so their audience to understand. So there is an agreement that the 60%, the highly enriched uranium, will be diluted. What there's not agreement about is whether they'll be, Iran will give up all the enriched uranium, but Trump's already conceded in this document, according to Axios, that they're going to have enriched uranium. In terms of the Strait of Hormuz, the document says Iran's going to have control over the Strait of Hormuz, complete control over the Strait of Hormuz. The only concession it seems like Iran has given, which I agree with actually logically, but there seems to be that the 60 days, there will be no toll. On the fee, I'm unsure, but let's just assume there won't be. So that's one minor concession. But Iran's going to have total control over the Strait of Hormuz. They didn't have it before with Oman. You then have a scenario where it's going to be complete Israeli removal from Lebanon. The Hatem al-Nabi headquarters from Iran came out and said Israel has violated this agreement 84 times in the last 2 days, and there will be a response. Well, it seems like that threat has worked because already I'm reading right now that the Israelis are leaving certain parts of Lebanon.
Wow.
So I'm seeing that they're leaving Hayam City in South Lebanon. So that's one. Don't take that as they're leaving everywhere. But at the moment, there does seem to be some form of retreat. So this is just total and complete victory from Iran's perspective. There's $300 billion. Trump denied it, but the document seems to quite clearly say that they're going to get paid $300 billion. They're going to be paid and be given the unfrozen assets. We don't know how they're going to be given. The Iranians say 50% immediately. This document doesn't really clarify what it's going to be. But, I mean, in all aspects, it's a complete and total victory by Iran. The only question is, as you said, junior partner. Well, we don't know how the Israelis are going to deal with this.
Yes.
And the Israelis at the moment, although I'm saying that they've retreated from one area, that might just be a random thing. It might be just coincidental.
Right.
And they may be planning something because I can't see logically how someone like Netanyahu can retreat, because this isn't just Netanyahu. I've always said this. If you look at the entire body of the Israeli political class and the Israeli people, they want this war in Lebanon and Iran to continue. Yes. And so you see, for example, Yair Lapid, who's from the left wing. You see Ben Gavir from the right wing. You see Naftali Bennett, who is the opposition to Netanyahu. All of them are saying Netanyahu's been weak. He should not retreat from Lebanon. He should continue the war going. If we were in charge, we would continue this war with Lebanon and Iran. So that tells you everything. There's no way logically Netanyahu could retreat.
Right. I'm calling it. I've dubbed it. I hear though dub it the $500 billion war or the $1 trillion war. You think about it. $110 billion spent directly on the conflict. That's what the debt clock says. It's a rough figure. You look at the $300 billion now that's going to be paid by the Gulf states, probably mostly by us or whoever, another $300 billion to Iran. You look at the radar installations destroyed. Look at the missiles used. Look at the munitions, the bases, all of it. There's no way to even quantify the amount of money that's just been, for lack of a better expression, pissed away in this conflict. That's truly what's happened here. And, you know, we can say, we're going to get into the Ukraine war to deplete Russia's military. What is this? What is this giant disaster? And Suleiman, I wanted to ask you about this before the break. I've been watching, not just reading, of course, the purported MOU, but we've got Trump out there. Was he with the UAE? Or who was he with? He was with UAE? Okay. He's sitting out there. And he goes, yeah, Netanyahu, you don't need to blow up an entire building to kill one guy. You're killing a lot of innocent civilians. It's like he used like a bad word for it. He knows the truth. We all know about the genocide, the war crimes. He doesn't care. That makes him complicit. What do you want people to understand about Trump's knowledge of these events?
Well, I think on that, it's not just Trump. It's every single U.S. president has been aware of these events, right, and what's been happening. And that's Trump as per what you mentioned, but it's also Biden, all of these people, sure. Obama, all of these people have been complicit, more so the last two people. But what he did was give a revelation. And this is what I think is good about Trump, in the sense of he reveals the truth,
sure,
which other presidents wouldn't. So he's telling you, look, we were aware that Israel is killing innocent civilians in Lebanon. They don't need to, he goes, they're doing too much killing. They don't have to destroy an entire apartment building, killing all these civilians under this claim that they're going after a resistance member. He's just giving us an insight into the reality that the American regime, the American public, the American politicians, the president of the United States, Biden or Trump, were well aware of this slaughter,
yes,
of civilians. And also another important point he made was, Rex, he said that Jelani was his guy. Jelani would do whatever he wants.
Yes.
And that Jelani would do a better job than Israel in Lebanon.
Right. I mean, what do we think the Lebanese people think about the notion of Al-Qaeda terrorists coming into their country? I mean, think about how horrifying that would be. You know, you're somebody living in Lebanon and you hear that the evil empire is about to throw their terror state in there. It's just, I feel so bad for the people of the Middle East. And that's why the impetus is on us as Americans to really criticize our own system and call it our own government. These people are living in a hell, and it's a hell that we created. Suleiman, with all this being said, what would you think, before we go to break, the percentage chances of the MOU being signed and us getting that 60 days buffer zone, whatever you want to call it, as they try to reach another agreement?
I think it's highly likely. I think the MOU is going to be signed in Switzerland. I think the 60 days will pass. But I do think we're going to go back to war. Let me be clear on this. I just think that both sides need a bridge, and this kind of provides the bridge for both sides. So from America's side, they need this bridge in order to alleviate the financial global crisis. They need this bridge in order to get past the summer, get past July 4th, get past possibly even the midterms.
Right.
From Iran's perspective, they need a bit of alleviation as well financially. In addition to that, from Iran's perspective, it is their holy couple of months as well. I believe people do pilgrimage to Iran and Iraq as well.
Right.
And so taking both of these things into consideration, I think that the 60 days will hold likely. Obviously, that is obviously without considering the Israeli factor, but can I imagine Benjamin Netanyahu not doing something for 60 days? Again, this is unlikely. So the wild card in all of this is always Israel.
Right. And is that thing as to the silver lining? I was asking about Trump before. We agree on this principle that Trump is exposing like what the empire is doing. My thing is, as a supporter of Trump in the past, everything I voted for he turned against and went the opposite way. So it exposes to the American people, you don't really have choice, have agency. If you vote to go out of a war or not to go to war in general, to be anti-war, you're going to get a pro-war administration, whether that's Trump, Biden, Obama, Bush, whoever, because that's how the American government works. That's how they make their money, with the military industrial complex and the permanent bureaucratic class. With all the people you talk to, Suleiman, I know you talk to Larry Johnson a lot. I know you talk to a lot of these phenomenal people. What do they think about, you know, possible future black swan events, the nuclear weapon question, just some of the more random stuff that's out there?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think nearly every single person I speak to, whether from the U.N., let's be clear, like I speak to the vast majority of the people I speak to are from the United States of America,
right,
are from either the American actually military industrial complex, ex-CIA, ex-Green Berets, ex-Lieutenant Colonels, and various other things. They're all unanimous, A, that this war was not for the benefit of the United States of America, B, that this war would be a loss, which it was, and C, that this war will restart at some point again, because you just can't trust the Israelis. The Israelis cannot let this opportunity go. This is their last chance saloon. They know that there is a demographic problem in the United States of America.
Yeah.
People are becoming anti-Israel. They're never going to get this chance again. They're never going to be able to con another president to go to war. If Trump is right, Trump said this today. He said that Netanyahu begged Obama not to sign that JCPOA, and Obama ignored him. Now, I'm not someone who supports Obama. He's the guy who committed more drone attacks in the Middle East than anyone else. But that being said, it shows that they managed to get Trump to tear up that JCPOA, because Trump's aware that Netanyahu begged Obama and he said no. And the second thing is they've got Trump to go to this war. Would they be able to get Trump to go back into this war? It makes it a lot more difficult. Would they get a future president to do it? It becomes almost unlikely unless you've got someone like Rubio as president, and the chances of that are quite low. So I think this is the last chance saloon for them. And so based on that, they do think that's going to happen. In terms of the nuclear aspect, yeah, there is this kind of notion or perspective that because things are going really bad for the United States, America, and Israel, there was a report by, as you mentioned, Larry Johnson and Seymour Hersh, who say that Trump was asking for the nuclear bomb in order to try and
they told him no.
The nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
They did. Apparently they told him no. And the reason he was asking was because they were failing in attacking Iran's military complexes. They were basically failing to attack Iran's military installations and launch pads. And so out of frustration, he was like, okay, can we use a nuclear bomb? So that's kind of the reasoning for it. So when you see that that's the reasoning, you see that you're dealing with the Israelis and the Samsung option, which is that they would use a nuclear bomb, not just on their foe, but also on their friends. They have the nuclear Samsung option, which is being able to bomb New York, Washington, D.C., London, Berlin, Paris.
Right.
That tells you that that possibility is always there. And this is why I've always been a big advocate for Iran, that they should be getting a nuclear bomb. And I think it's a failure on their side not to do so.
Well, it's a crazy game. The only way to win is not to play. We'll be right back with Suleiman. Follow Moral Resistance on YouTube. You'll see me on there and a bunch of other amazing folks. That's Moral Resistance on YouTube. We'll be right back. Thank you so much, Suleiman, on short notice for popping in.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Rex.
The 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, and the concepts like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America 250 Years Strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny to 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, Ride Fast, Live Free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 Free.
They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You're going to promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you're really going to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. So, hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We are back with top-rated geopolitical expert and analyst Suleiman of Moral Resistance. I highly suggest you follow him on X, on Twitter, on YouTube at Moral Resistance. It is a honor to have you on the show, Suleiman. Last segment, we're talking about Lebanon. We're also talking about the MOU. Let's go ahead and get into that. Break down the MOU and key points of contention, agreement, whatever you see coming out of it.
Yeah, first of all, it's an honor and privilege to come on. Thanks to Rex for having me on. Yeah, look, the MOU, when you break it down, it is, largely speaking, very much pro-Iran. And what I mean by that is, so if you look at it before February the 28th, what was the Israeli contention? Israel wanted Iran to have zero enriched uranium and not to have a nuclear bomb. Iran never wanted a nuclear bomb. They wanted zero enriched uranium. They wanted Iran not to have any ballistic missiles or to reduce the capacity. They wanted Iran to abandon the resistance, and they wanted Iran to basically uninstall the nuclear facilities. Quite clearly, this document doesn't have any of those things right in there. Also, in addition to that, another thing that came about was a regime change. Again, this document doesn't have that. What this document has is essentially this ability for Iran to become the fourth biggest power in the world. You look at it from an economic perspective, they're going to be able to, if they're unsanctioned, they're going to be able to do trade throughout the world. They're going to have control over the Strait of Hormuz. They're going to have these new relations with the Gulf states. My own sources, as per what you mentioned, many of the guests that I have, but also my own sources tell me that there's a major shift happening in the Gulf now,
yes,
where the American hegemony has been reduced, where some of these countries, some of them, some say more, but again, take it with a grain of salt, but some of these countries are now looking away from America, looking to China and Russia and Pakistan for a new security umbrella. So you look at the US empire, it's been diminished, it's been reduced from what it is. And you basically have a problem where, first of all, you see the reduction of the American empire. You see these American allies moving away from America. And then you look at other allies like Japan and South Korea. So just think about it logically. Someone like Japan and South Korea, a large amount of their trade comes from the Strait of Hormuz. Is it in your benefit to be allied with the United States of America? Would you make a separate deal with Iran? Yes, you would. If I was Japan or South Korea, I'd be like, look, next time American-Israel attack, let's make some kind of overarching trade deal where our vessels can still go through the Strait of Hormuz. We'll buy some of your manufacturing products. You buy some of our, whatever, electronic products, and we can come to some kind of overarching trade deal. And so you just look at the ability of what Iran can do, the power that it has, the power that it's now being given in the region. It's going to be essentially the fourth biggest power in the world, and it'll be the main power in the Middle East. Then you look at the specifics of the deal. Iran has control of the Strait of Hormuz. Iran's able to enrich nuclear, enrich uranium. Iran still has its ballistic missile program. So what has Iran gets $300 billion.
Right.
Iran gets its unfrozen assets, another, $24 billion?
No sanctions.
I mean, I don't know what to say other than this is a huge victory.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, you know, that we would agree to this, but it's understandable because we need the conflict to be over or else we're not going to have a country anymore. We're going to have the Great Depression, right? So that's where that all figures out is, like, Trump goes, well, I got to leave. I don't really have a choice. I don't really have an option. I think it's pretty clear, pretty obvious to everyone that he's bought and paid for an agent of Israel. So, like, bar losing everything he has politically and losing the country, he'll do whatever they ask him to do. He can't do anything but this agreement, because if he doesn't do this agreement, it will destroy the U.S.
the U.S. will basically be gone. And we're going to come back for another 5 minutes. Really appreciate you, Suleiman. The grave nature of this cannot be understated, guys. We need peace in the Middle East. This is why I love what Joe Kent says so much. Just declare victory and go home. You don't even need this. Just leave. We don't need the bases. We don't need troops there. We don't need the missile systems there. It's all to protect Israel because they're waging wars of aggression they want us involved in. So we'll be right back discussing all of that and more. I want to remind you, thealexjonesstore.com, best place to buy methylene blue, supplements of your choice, apparels, t-shirts, hats, you name it. That's thealexjonesstore.com. I don't plug enough, and if I don't plug, we're not going to stay on air. Go get a hat. Go get a t-shirt. Go get a product. Go get Ultimate Life Force, bestseller. Go get methylene red, bestseller. Go get methylene blue, bestseller. All these products and more available at thealexjonesstore.com. I'll see you after the break.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster, and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just sea moss and shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, we're wrapping up the last 5-10 minutes here with Suleiman, amazing geopolitical analyst, has the best guests in the world on at Moral Resistance. You got to be following Moral Resistance. Subscribe to it on YouTube. If you're not doing that, you are a nerd. Go get the best information. Go subscribe to Moral Resistance on YouTube. Suleiman, we kind of just broke apart the MOU peace agreement, whatever it wants to be called, whatever they're calling it today. And this is a victory for the world, Iran, the U.S., whatever you want to say, because regardless of the terms, the conflict will be over for at least 60 days if it's signed and it's on the progression to peace. However, it would be nice if we lived in Peaches and Creamville and there were, you know, happy people dancing around with giant sugar canes and lollipops and stuff like that, like Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Unfortunately, there's a war in Lebanon right now. And that war in Lebanon, you know, it's all good to say, what does the point number one say in the agreement? And I quote, an immediate and permanent end to the war on all fronts, including Lebanon. Suleiman, is that possible?
I don't think it's possible, unfortunately. And what's important is that the word permanent, because immediate would mean end hostilities in Lebanon. Permanent means it ends forever.
Right.
That's important. Well, if hostilities to end forever, it means Israel needs to retreat from Lebanon. Now, these Israelis have not retreated from Lebanon. If you remember in 2024, when the resistance was dominating Israel on the ground and they had to retreat, they had an agreement. And part of the agreement was because the resistance in Lebanon, Hezbollah, were dominating them so badly, they weren't able to enter into Lebanon at all. And so what happened was when the agreement was substantiated, the Lebanese army were meant to come and replace Hezbollah on the border to make sure the Israelis don't come in. So Hezbollah retreated. The Lebanese army didn't come in. And then Israel went in and took five different villages in South Lebanon to take control over it. And so this Israeli idea of having control over at least a certain percentage of Lebanon has always been their position. They can rationalize it to say, we need that in order for security in northern Israel. And so in reality, obviously, they've taken that. They've taken well above that. They've gone to the, in certain elements, they've gone to the Litani River. They are losing on the ground. So that's right. Not a problem. Like, we were expecting them to essentially within a month fail, fall, and have to retreat anyway. But they haven't got to that point yet. And so Israel, I don't see a scenario where they would allow peace in Lebanon, where they would allow peace in Gaza. I just don't see a scenario. And I think that if someone like Netanyahu was to agree to that, that would be political suicide. So
yeah,
I just can't see that happening.
Let's have a little bit of an esoteric conversation here, last like 5 minutes that we have to talk. What does that mean? They won't allow it to happen. Does that mean espionage? Does that mean a false flag, green flag style attack? Does that mean pressure on Trump? What does that mean in your mind? What are some of the possibilities, probabilities, options there? Last question.
Yeah, in terms of false flag, I just think it's a bit more unlikely. Like, cause if you look at any of these like recent false flags, people are like, meh, they're not even looking at it. They try a false flag. Like you saw the Trump shooting. Like I remember the first time in Butler when Trump was the attempted assassination.
Right.
We had like tens of thousands of people live listening to us, right?
Yeah.
Cause everyone was like, wow, what
us
just
too.
Happened?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I was reporting that day. It was crazy. It was crazy, man. And like how psyoped I got as I pulled the cross out of my shirt. I told people to vote for him because I thought they tried to kill him because he was anti-war. I genuinely believe that. And that makes me look back at it. I don't know what's going on anymore, but go ahead. Go ahead.
So you remember that. So you had a high viewership. It was crazy. This last one, if you remember, it was like a blip. It had like a slight increase of viewership. It wasn't like people just aren't bothered. But I think a false flag is highly unlikely. I think what we will see is the Israel's false flag method, or whatever you want to call it, in order to impede is they'll just go to South Lebanon and bomb it. They'll go to South Lebanon, bomb it, and then there's going to be this expected retaliation from Iran, and then Trump's going to have to come in and defend. And when you look at it from Iran's perspective, which is quite right, the way they see it is Israel cannot do anything without the United States of America. So in Lebanon, of course, they can bomb Lebanon without the U.S. But even if you look at these strikes that Israel did against Israel did against Iran recently, Trump said he wasn't involved, but then we got information that CENTCOM was involved. They helped with the defense. They helped with some aspects of the refueling. So they were involved. In addition to that, what you basically got is in that engagement, even though the U.S. was involved, the reason they retreated is because Iran absolutely decimated Israel. The Ramat David Air Base was obliterated. In Jordan, they took out the military facility in Jordan, according to some reports. According to Iran, there was at least dozens upon dozens of fighter jets that were taken out. According to Russian intel, there was at least 12 F-35s that were basically destroyed in a hangar jet. Whatever it may be, such was the level of destruction. That's why Trump came running back to the negotiation table and tried to agree a deal with Iran. So bringing that all back together, the way that Netanyahu can do this is by just bombing Lebanon. He bombs Lebanon and you're back to where we started.
Absolutely disgusting. We pray to God that doesn't happen. However, it looks likely if you look at past indicator being the best indicator of future behavior, what's gone on when they get stressed out or pushed up against the wall, they bomb Lebanon to try to drag us back in. Thank you so much, Suleiman, for being here. I want to tell everybody, where are you going to be at? Moral Resistance?
Yeah, thanks for joining me. Really appreciate it. Always appreciate you, Rex. You've been on our show and we'll hopefully get you back again as soon as possible.
100%.
And it is the Moral Resistance channel. We interview experts, military experts. As you mentioned, Larry Johnson, CIA, Anthony Aguilera. I think you've had him on your show as well. Green Beret. And Lieutenant Colonel Karen Katowski and various others. Green Berets, Marines. We try and all American experts, as well as we get people on the ground from Iran as well. So check out the channel. It is Moral Resistance. You can see it and hopefully you enjoy it. And I appreciate you giving me a chance to relay this to the audience.
100%, man. You got good information. It's an info war. It's about sharing that information. I want people to actually know what's going on so we have a choice against it. Ignorance is the greatest weapon of the empire within all of this. Thank you so much, Suleiman, for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Awesome. We get the best guests. We do the best shows. That's Suleiman at Moral Resistance. Highly recommend that you go ahead and go follow him. What did he just break down to you? The United States is agreement incapable, because it doesn't matter if this is all good and copacetic and we go ahead and get it signed. It's irrelevant even. What really matters is what Israel is going to do. And you think about it, this is a nation of 9 million people that we sell all our military equipment to. Their military is our military. And we don't have a seat at the table. We can't pull the steering wheel away from them and tell them no. It's a very scary time to be an American and live in this reality. Now, I want to go to J.D. Vance, who was talking to Megyn Kelly. He had a couple points on this. Let's go ahead and air the two J.D. Vance clips, the second one and then the first one. Go ahead.
So here's some of the reaction. Mark Thiessen said if the deal terms are accurate as has been leaked, it's a complete disaster. He's calling this, by the way, the Vance the Vance deal.
I wonder why he doesn't call it the Trump deal.
I wonder too. There is Ben Domenech, who was on special report last night, called this the hillbilly Obama deal.
That I wonder who that's a reference to.
Seems to be a shot at you, sir. Not bold foreign
Pause
policy.
It.
There's a guy.
So to all the people that are mad about this and don't want a peace deal and are apparently like ascribing blame to J.D. Vance or whatever, like they should just wear a bib covered in fake or real blood all the time that says, I love death. And then go around and tell people, hi, yeah, I'm a political whatever. I love death. Can I shake your hand and see how people react to that? Because here's the thing. I despise Trump now. I despise the whole administration, all the cabinet members now. I view them all as corrupt criminals who need to not hold political office again, need to get out. However, if Trump and Vance are able to get this MOU signed and move forward and get an actual peace deal and control Israel and tell them no, and if all this stops, if the conflict stops, I have to at least give them, you know, the Pandora's box, the bottom of it, of course, beyond all the bad stuff that comes out, is hope, right? Maybe we have some hope. Maybe in, you know, the soul of the most obtuse and arrogant American president ever to exist, and that's why I voted for him, a big reason, is because I thought he would have the gravitas and self-agency to get us out of an event like this by never allowing it to happen. Well, he failed on the first count. He allowed it to happen. Now, let's not try to kill him as he tries to get us out of it. Let's not join the pro-Israel people in doing that. This is a good thing and not a bad thing. You have seen me come out here and call Trump a traitor to the country. You've seen me trash him, whatever. I am all positive on this. I am all positive on this. Donald J. Trump, please get the MOU signed. Please get the peace agreement. Please bring our troops home. Please do whatever. You don't even have to do this, Trump. This is my message to you. You don't even need the MOU. Just take our ships, take our troops, take our planes, take our missiles, and bring them home or return them to the other countries like Japan and South Korea that we stole them from. Okay? Return the troops and the equipment home. That's all you got to do for us to love you again. And not love you again because you're disgusting and you've killed innocent people. But at the same time, you are better than the Israelis if you do this. Do you want to be better than the devil? Do you want to be better than Satan himself? Do you want to be better than Netanyahu? Then at least get the MOU signed and let's go ahead and move on to peace. Play the second J.D. Vance clip.
About Hezbollah in Lebanon, because,
sure,
you know, that's a proxy that they're funding,
yep,
and that could easily queer this deal. It could queer this deal this week, people fear, never mind on a go-forward basis, either,
yeah,
side, Israel or Hezbollah.
Sure. Look, it's always delicate with these things, and, you know, what we've seen with the ceasefire in Lebanon, and it's been clear, to be clear, a dirty ceasefire. There's been some shooting back and forth, but
that's
frankly,
not
there's
very
way
ceasefire-y.
There's way less shooting now than there was 2 weeks ago. There's way less shooting 2 weeks ago than there was before. So with these things, as the President of the United States said a couple weeks ago, he said sometimes a ceasefire just means they're shooting less,
yeah,
and that's the progress. And then you get to the next
pause
stage.
Well, how about not shooting at all? How about not doing the war that you promised not to do in the first place? Can we get that? Can I shake a tin cup around and just say, please, sir, can I have what I voted for? Like, the legalese of all of it, the lawyer speak of all of it, the explaining away of all of it, it's technical, actually, excuse me, it's just like, we don't need that anymore. We need to GTFO. It's a snafu. Situation normal, all effed up. Like, it's time for us. FUBAR, whatever you want to call it, effed up beyond all recognition. That's what we've done in the Middle East. It's the $500 billion war. I'm going to say it again. Go ahead and play him.
Lebanon included?
Lebanon, Hezbollah? It is a regional peace deal. It's going to include the Gulf. It's going to include Israel. It's going to include Lebanon. The idea is this is a true regional peace deal because,
how
again,
do that
if the Iranians
Netanyahu
comply.
Sorry, forgive me for interrupting.
No. The idea is that if the Iranians comply, then we are going to have a true transformative deal for the Middle East. And if not, they don't get any economic benefits. The United States, we got what we came to do and we're done.
Notice how he doesn't say anything bad about Daddy Netanyahu, lest Daddy Netanyahu come to the White House and pull out his belt and spank JD for being so insubordinate, right? Well, it's going to be a regional peace deal. It's going to be between these groups, these whatever. This, wherever I put it, I'm flopping around the studio like a walrus today. This is a MOU, a memorandum of understanding, the same way you'd get one done in a business or whatever, with Iran, okay, between the United States and Iran. I'm going to read it again. Section 1, understanding an immediate and permanent end to the war on all fronts, including Lebanon, and undertake that from now on, they will not launch any hostile action against each other and will refrain from the threat of use against force against each other or whatever, paraphrasing. Where in that does it say, oh, it's a regional peace agreement. Oh, it don't matter what Netanyahu does. Oh, that says an immediate and permanent end to all the wars. I'm paraphrasing. That's what it says. So if we can't control the Israelis, and Ben-Gvir has already promised that they will not allow the Syrians to come in, which is also bad, but he says we will not allow the people that are part of ISIS to come in. So he even admits the truth. The Israelis are going to do something about it. We're going to do something about it via the Syrians. We'll say the Syrians did it. We'll say Julani did it, or Shara, because he changed his name. Keep in mind that guy's a terrorist, former head chopper, killed thousands of Christians, Muslims, and Alawites. We're going to be like, oh, it's Al Julani doing the war crime to the Lebanese people. It's not us. It don't violate the MOU. And maybe Iran will let that fly if it's Syria. Maybe they'll do whatever. I know for damn well sure if the Israelis bomb again, this agreement is as good as dirt. And we all know this, right? And it should be a no-brainer. It should just be the American people, the American Republic, our government standing for us. It says, no, we are in charge. We are the powerful nation. We are the 300 plus million. You are the 9 million. You serve us. You're subservient to us, not the other way around. We don't have that because of the boomer. The boomer was taught to worship Netanyahu and to lick his boots and to praise Israel and to give all their money to it. So, and to give their young children, literally, Bible says, don't give your children to the fires of Moloch. I say, don't give them to the fires of Netanyahu's wars, right? So the boomer was trained on the Schofield Bible propaganda, on the color TV, on the late night comedy shows, all of it, that was reality and whatever the government told them was good, right? So you got Trump in government now, and he understands the true government to be Israel. And as a boomer, he's just kind of doing what he's told. But even the boomer is starting to slow down. Even the boomer is realizing, even though they got bad eyesight, that we're going off the cliff here. So I do hope that there is enough spirit in the American public to really wake up our leadership about this and remind them of who they serve. Do they serve a nation of 9 million people who has been hell-bent on getting us into wars ever since the creation of their modern nation state 78 years ago? Is that the constituency? Because we can go ahead and pull up Trump's approval rating in Israel. Show the before and after the MOU. It's pretty shocking. It's like plus 25, and then it goes all the way down to like minus 27. Are those the people that you want to love you, that you want to care about you? Trump says on tape that he could be the first prime, or the first Goyish or whatever he says, prime minister of Israel. And he says he's much more popular there than he is at home. Then why haven't you moved there yet? Well, I'll tell you why, Trump. It's because you're the United States president, not the Israeli president, not the Israeli prime minister. And you know that. And the people that still support you and your wickedness, even though it's been exposed and everyone knows what's going on, the people that are still coping and co-signing what you're doing, Trump, you are just like them. You are also a fool. You were also brainwashed. You were also co-opted. You are serving the interest of a foreign government over our own. Look at this. Trump supporting Israel flips in 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago, positive 58%, negative 35, plus 23. Now, positive 38%, negative 61, net support minus 23. And you want to tell me these people don't want war? Because what has Trump been doing? He's been trying to get peace, and they certainly don't like that. Trump's approval rating in Israel would be 100% if we had 10,000 Americans dead right now on Karg Island. It would be 1,000,000,000% if we did a land invasion, if we were actively involved, because these people see us as cattle to be murdered in their wars. Okay? And like, that's just the reality. Okay? And, you know, often they say actions speak louder than words, right? So what does it say that Marco Rubio says, comes out, well, we have to help Israel attack because we fear American soldiers are going to die in the retaliation. We can't stop the initial attack, so no Americans die at all. Well, keep in mind, we joined the initial strikes in the 2026 war because we didn't want more Americans to die. We had already accepted that Americans were going to die. Is this our country we're defending? Is it? Well, I would say it is. I would say Israel is our capital, right? We're the people in the Hunger Games that work in the various districts as slaves for, you know, this master race, this master class, this chosen people, if you will, right? That's what they call themselves. So we've got a chosen people that have special rights, that have earned the right via God promising it to them 3,000 years ago, that you have to go fight and die for them in a forever war because God said so.
And then we've got the American state founded 250 years ago, the most powerful nation in the world, the new Rome, that is subservient, you know, to the new Israel. And Netanyahu talks about that. He says, oh, well, you know, we lost the last war to the Romans, got to win the next one. He says the Romans are us. They've declared war on us openly and we serve them. And that's why I talk about it in the chair, is because, like, life ain't worth living if we can't talk about this stuff. Life ain't worth living if we're a subservient state, if we're a subservient nation. Life ain't worth living if I can't actually report to you the news. So people out there that are tired of hearing about Lebanon, Israel, Syria, Iran, blah, 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 whatever. I'm tired of it too. I want to talk about our nation, domestic policy, moving forward, building new cities, new railways, everything. Okay, that's what I care about. Unfortunately, you cannot get to step zero or step one until you get out of the negative. And we are like negative 500, 5,000, 5 million on all these issues that have been swept under the rug. You know, it's like we're hoarders and we can't even get out of our own house. Okay. We want to get out of our own house. We want to go, smell or feel the wind on our face and feel the rain, feel the sunshine, whatever. We can't get out of there, get out of this mess that we've created for ourselves until we address it. And the easiest way to address it, I go back to Joe Kanigan, go find his latest tweet or one of his latest tweets. Declare victory and go home. This is the message. Declare victory and go home. Declare victory and go home. Stop this stupid, retarded stuff. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is declare victory and go home. And then we can worry about all of it later. And when all of our missiles are gone, when all of our defense systems are gone, when all our ships and troops are gone, Netanyahu, little pipsqueak, little retard moron, all he can do is launch a nuclear weapon. Okay, that's all he can do. And then that's the end of that state forever, because there'll be an international pariah. So they can't even do that. They'll have to sue for peace. They'll actually have to act like reasonable adults instead of little children that always get their way. And it's just like the arrogance and the entitlement of the Israelis, by and large, where they come out and say, yes, this war needs to happen. Well, I'm sorry. Even though you're the ones getting bombed, Iran's getting bombed too. Other nations are getting bombed. These people act like they're the only ones that are ever victims. Like nobody else has to swim through their wake. Well, newsflash, the entire world is having to swim through your wake and we don't like it. I'm reading this again. This is key. I want everyone to share this as well. We need Joe. If the deal involves giving Iran billions of our dollars, our best bet is to simply walk away. Providing such a massive sum will only end in catastrophe. Absolutely correct. Not only will President Trump be accused of cutting a deal worse than Obama's JCPOA, it objectively is, but the Iranians will undoubtedly use some of the money to fund their proxies. Absolutely correct. This will ultimately create a new justification for resuming the war, and round we go. A deal sounds nice in principle, but it's not needed to end this. Pull all the troops out of the region. Don't give Iran access to the billions. They'll have a hard time maintaining the closure of Strait of Hormuz, not looking like the aggressor, which they would be in that point. They'd have to open it. At the same time, cut all the aid to Israel, prevent them from striking Iran or Lebanon. Go forward, leverage the potential of the sanctions as a tool to keep the strait open. And a formal deal, keep this in mind, guarantees that we're going to have to maintain a presence in the region to enforce it. Why do we got to do all this BS? Why can't we just declare victory and go home? I'm tired of the desert. I'm 23 years old. I'd like a future without the desert. I'd like a future where I don't have to learn the names of Naftali Bennett, Arachi, Ben-Gavir, Smotrich. Ugh. Like, enough is enough. Okay, I care about the West. I care about America. I care about first world society. And I care about everyone around the world that's a living, breathing soul, too. I don't like it when innocent little brown people get murdered. That's also effed up and unacceptable, right? So from a pragmatist perspective and also from the moral perspective, it's time for us to leave. It's been time for us to leave for quite some time. But some of you guys out there in the audience, you got power fantasies about being Naruto or something, and you think you're going to launch the tailed beast bomb at Iran and blow it up or something, you're smoking filtered crack. When you listen to the experts that me and Suleiman talked to, whether that's a Joe Kent, Karen Karanovsky, or Karatowski, Suleiman, I already said him, Anthony Aguilar, Larry Johnson, Pepe Escobar, Ray McGovern, Lawrence Wilkerson, you name it. When you talk to these people, there is a universal recognition that we have already lost and there's no reason for us to be there. We can debate causality. We can debate what happens in the end. We can go past, present, future, whatever. The core thing that everyone knows to be correct is we got to get gone yesterday. We got to get out of there. So I hope you hear that and take that message into your heart.
and realize there's nothing tough and gung-ho about sending thousands of innocent civilians or American troops off to go die in another meaningless war in the desert for nobody or for Satan himself, the devil, the big Yahoo, Benjamin Netanyahu. We'll cover all that and more in the next segment. I love you guys. Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. If you're interested, Rex Jones News with a Z. Go ahead and follow me there. I'm live every morning and then Thursday and Sunday nights. I love you. Really do.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are listener and viewer supported. It's very simple at thealexjonesstore.com. You back us. You fund us. You are everything. And we bring you the very best products, the very best supplements, the very best water filtration systems, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the very best knives, silver coins, you name it, so that you get a great product and empower yourself while at the same time empowering yourself and free humanity against the globalists. So, a lot of new things at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at these belts. They are super comfortable. They are incredible high quality. They are so durable. They'll last a lifetime. And the way they're designed is something special. So I paid like $75 a year or so ago for a similar belt. And I told Bigley, I like this type of belt. Why don't you get these? They got belts even better than the one I bought about a year ago that I love. And they're selling them for $39 right now. That is a big discount out of the gates at thealexjonesstore.com. Premium nylon tactical belt. This is the premium nylon tactical belt available now at thealexjonesstore.com for only $39.99. It's built from heavy-duty nylon webbing with a smooth automatic ratchet buckle. No holes, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit whether you're working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. And we've got them in three editions. On the buckle is a little cross, the 1776 edition, and Alex Jones signature edition, making it original and special. It's all black, tactical, clean, durable, and built for everyday use. It's murdered out. It's off black. And right now it's only $39 at thealexjonesstore.com. They are premium. They look great. They have knocked it out of the park with this product. Get yours today and also buy gifts for friends and family and know you're funding the tip of the spear in the fight against tyranny. Also, Bigley knocked it out. Highest rating level with the carbon filters, beautiful, highest grade stainless steel for lower price than other systems that aren't even as good. We're so proud of this. The first group sold out. More coming in about a week and a half. So get your order in now to make sure it's ahead of the line. Those are now available. This is platinum level, gravity fed, water filtration, and it makes this operation possible, multi-tested by top companies to take out hundreds and hundreds of bad chemicals at non-detectable levels, the atrazine, the glyphosate, all of it. You should do this for your family. Do this for yourself. It's a big 3-gallon system. It's amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And then we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Some of the designs are the best. Some of them are okay. I'll just be honest. Some of the designs I come up with are okay. But I came up with the concepts of these new shirts. Limited edition, 250th anniversary of America, July 4th, special edition. So it's sold through the middle of June, through July, and then we're not going to sell these T-shirts anymore. They look so good, they'll probably come up with another variant or something. But these are limited edition, Liberty or Death, 1776, 2026. They came up with that. I love it. The simple one I came up with, America, 250 years strong, nice, simple, clean, kind of got like a polo look to it. Look at that one. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. Gadsden flag on the Betsy Ross flag. I came up with that design. I'm really proud of these. They're very clean. You'll meet a lot of like-minded people wearing these. Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. I designed that bad boy. They designed the 1776, 250 years of freedom. Oh, I love the one they designed with the brass knuckles, 1776 free. Defund the deep state. That's all their designs. America, ride fast, live free. They designed that. Ball caps as well. All limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And to keep us on the air, take action now. Big Brother hates it when you fund the tip of the spear. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
terms here, just a couple of them I want to talk about especially, is the first one, the first point, the Islamic Republic of Iran and the United States, together with their allies in the current war, declare upon the signing of this memorandum an immediate and permanent end to the war on all fronts, including Lebanon. And that is causing a lot of consternation in many quarters here, not the least of which Benjamin Netanyahu, because this is central to what he is telling all of his people is necessary for his national security. Here's what he said when he was asked on that issue today.
אתם אמרתם שאתם לא מחויבים לסעיף לבנון בהסכם הזה. האם אתם מחויבים להסכם איראן בהסכם הזה?
שוב, ההסכם הזה הוא נעשה על ידי ארצות הברית, על ידי הנשיא ארצות הברית, והוא חושב שהוא יכול באמת לשלב גם את פיחת המצרים וגם את ביטול תוכנית הגרעין. ואמרתי, זו החלטה שלו. אני חוזר ואומר, זו החלטה שלו. הוא מוביל את זה. ואני כמובן הבאתי את דעתי בשיחות שונות. מנגד, אמרתי שיש לנו אינטרסים שלנו.
So in case anybody couldn't read that small print there, he was asked, are you going to abide by that clause in the agreement if that's what's in there? Because you said we're going to go further. And he said, listen, that's President Trump's deal. As long as he can end the nuclear program and the disarmament of Iran, he can do whatever he wants. But we have our own interests and we're going to follow those as well. So he did not commit to doing it. Is that going to unseat? That's point number one, at least of what's been leaked today. Is that going to undo the day before it even gets to signing on Friday?
Well, potentially. Again, it depends on President Trump, who is looking for, what do we call it, a get out of jail card. In other words, we've just fought a losing war with Iran. We'd like to end this and sort of steal away into the night without any further difficulty. He's looking for a piece of paper that confers that ability on him. The problem is that, and we've talked, I think, about this before, for Mr. Netanyahu and frankly for the Israelis, the fight with Hezbollah is existential. You know, they know that with Hezbollah, there can be no outcome other than Hezbollah's destruction or Israel's capitulation. And the Israelis are not going to capitulate to Hezbollah.
Okay, you can go ahead and take us out. So, of course, that is the critically acclaimed Colonel Douglas MacGregor, former advisor to Trump and, of course, a combat veteran, a military legend out there saying what me and Suleiman are saying and everyone else is saying. It's all dependent on Israel, right? Like, we want to leave. We want to go. We want to get out of there. This agreement is basically wet toilet paper until Trump can actually demonstrate that he has the ability to restrain or to withhold the Israelis and Netanyahu from doing what they want to do. So what today has turned into is a pretty high-level dissertation on what the MOU is and what it represents, even though kind of it is defunct until it's actually proven that we can hold the Israelis' feet to the fire and that we are the senior partner and not the junior one. I'm going to be joined at the start of the next hour by Colonel Anthony Aguilar. Go ahead and pull up his website when you have it ready. I'm going to ask him a lot of the same questions I asked Suleiman, understanding from a military perspective the true cost of keeping our guys over there overextended in these bases, in these ships, you know, preparing, you know, for the blockade, preparing for the ground invasion, whatever they were doing before versus what they're doing now, and the potential positive impacts on the military and on the economy that could result as us leaving the region. Because here's the thing. We can do doom and gloom, negative, all we want, all we can't. I think it's very important to look at the black pill perspective, and I am pretty black pilled on a lot of these things because it looks like we don't have agency. But at the same time, what is a true positive roadmap to peace look like? What does the MOU finalized look like? Does it look like armistice agreement where we just kind of sign the MOU and then it says in here that it could be extended basically indefinitely so long as both sides agree? Is it kind of a North-South Korea situation, or is it the building block to something greater, if it can be achieved, or if it does burn, how does it crash and burn and fail and burn? We're going to get into all of that, but I'm being told that I've got a plug, and I really do need to plug as well. You need the phenomenal products available at thealexjonesstore.com. Let's go ahead and get into it, into what a supplement is as well. I think it's very key for people to understand. We've got two categories of supplement. You've got one that's like a vitamin, a mineral, replaces something in your body, not getting enough of it in your diet, depleted soil, you name it, toxic environment. Number two is like the hormetic stressor, is the adaptogen, is the plant drug, if you will. And whether it's a cordyceps mushroom, whether that's a Rhodiola rosea, whether that's a natokinase, these are things that have real mechanisms of action that demonstrate, you know, an effect within your body to promote some sort of positive feedback loop, to promote some sort of a cellular effect that you want in the same way that like a nootropic, an adaptogen, or a peptide might, right? It's got a real way in which it works as can be explained. Go ahead and get up thealexjonesstore.com, pull up the methylene blue. Pull up the methylene blue. I'm going to do a little breakdown for you guys. So methylene blue is a small molecule based off nitrogen, chlorine, and sulfur. All right, you got nitrogen, sulfur, chlorine. The chlorine is what gives it its medical dye property, light scattering, you name it. That's why it's blue. That's why it's a brilliant blue. The sulfur donates a donates an electron to your mitochondrial process. I'm going to say that again. The sulfur group donates an electron to your mitochondrial process, skipping you through the stage in the Krebs cycle where you make all the toxic byproducts, stage one, and straight into the cleanest stage, which is oxidative phosphorylation. Now, what does that mean in layman's terms? Number one, you're making more energy. Number two, you're able to use more of it. That's a real mechanism of action. That's me explaining to you on a very foundational level how methylene blue works. Now, why is it so amazing that when you do something for your mitochondria, that you start to experience all these positive health effects, holistic effects, you name it? Well, simply put, as we get older, our cells have something called the Hayflick limit. That means up to 48 cell divisions, and then it stops. You can't really do it anymore. It can't really fix itself. It becomes a senescent cell, okay? And a senescent cell, you can look this up. Google Scholar, PubMed, AskChatGPT, whatever you're going to do, whatever your research is, you can go ask it, what does a senescent cell do? A senescent cell pumps out all the bad stuff you don't want. The oxidative stress, the inflammatory biomarkers, the reactive oxygen species, all of that and more comes from the senescent cell because the lights are on and nobody's home. With methylene blue and other ingredients like the ones I sell in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, also available in the Power Drive bundle on thealexjonesstore.com. Go ahead and pull that up. When you're taking things like methylene blue, when you're taking things like PQQ or CoQ10, which improve mitochondrial health, biogenesis, a wide number of factors, when you're doing these things that boost your ATP and boost your cells naturally and putting yourself into a more healthy fluid state, shall we say, how you're doing that is by reducing oxidative stress, right? So we've got a lot of phenomenal items on the alexjonesstore.com, almost said the old name of it, excuse me, that I really think could add a lot to your life should you choose to try them. And I think it would benefit you to do so. Yeah, go ahead and show them that. The Power Drive Bundle, that's 120 capsules, 30 servings, 60 servings for some of it as well. Power Plant and Methyl Drive, CoQ10, PQQ, magnesium, selenium, and so much more available in the Methyl Drive. That's everything you need to turbocharge your mitochondria, overall body health, nootropic aid, energy, and thinking, cognitive support as well. All that and more in Methyl Drive and Power Plant. Rhodiola rosea, Viking root, Arctic root, golden root, it's also known as, boost dopamine, norepinephrine, makes exercise feel better, combined with the cordyceps mushroom to literally make exercise easier, boost ATP and oxygen carrying capacity, combined with the boron and the zinc to naturally jolt your free testosterone all the way through the ceiling and more. You take these together and you combine it with methylene blue, you're going to experience the benefits. And here, I want to do a little bit of metaphorical, I want to wage a little war. Okay. You want to help me wage a little war? I want you to call and email Bigly and I want you to say, hey, why isn't Rex Jones on the team? Why isn't Rex Jones involved? Because they don't include me and they should. They should. I call these guys and it'll literally take them, you know, like months and months to get back to me. Well, I want to be involved. I want to formulate more great products. People ask me all the time, hey, do this for Bigly, do that for Bigly, whatever. I say, great. I try. I leave them messages. I want to be involved. It's time to increase the supplement line. It's time to add sleep supplements to the supplement line. It's time to have more energy stuff on the supplement line and have more premium ingredients on the supplement line. I want to do all of that together. It takes the audience getting engaged. The best way to do that, best way to show Bigly that you want more of my involvement is to go buy more of the products that I've created. So go ahead and throw Power Drive Bundle up there again. This is literally premium grade, premium stack. If you're taking methylene blue, you are crazy if you do not buy this. And I want you to buy this product, and then I want you to tell Bigly, hey, I bought this product because Rex Jones explained to me this is the flagship thing that we have to take in conjunction with the methylene blue. These are supplements targeted and designed to work better and to enhance methylene blue. Why isn't Rex Jones inventing more products? Now, I could go ahead and plug my own stores here and tell you about things I have on 50%off.com and JonesCBD.com. I won't do that as a gesture of goodwill and good faith to Bigly. However, I do want to be involved, and I do not like being ignored. Okay? And I'm a player in the game. I'm in the studio, right? So go ahead and give me a call. I know the people buying the supplements are going to give you a call. People want more original products. They want to know there's a Jones behind them, right? I've been getting a lot of people buying my toothpaste lately because they say, hey, I didn't know you had toothpaste available on 50%off.com. I thought it was just, you know, supplements and whatnot. And I was like, yeah, I do have toothpaste on there. People are looking to support a Jones. They're looking to support us through these products because they want us to do these phenomenal shows. Best way to do that is to have a great team around us. And we do. We all just need to work and communicate together better, more firmly. And that's what I'm trying to do here. I want to do more with Bigly. They're amazing guys. It's an amazing company. It makes me so happy and so proud to think about guys doing the same thing we were doing back in the 2015, 2016 time period. But it's time for us to all get clicked in and come together because there's so much more we can bring y'all. And I want to read y'all an offer really quick before I go off here. There's a new premium nylon tactical belt. This is the premium nylon tactical belt available now at thealexjonesstore.com for only $39.99. It's built from heavy duty nylon webbing. That's right. Nylon webbing, body armor webbing with smooth automatic ratchet buckle. No holes, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You get a perfect micro adjustable Mark Levin fit. Whether you're working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or out on the move, and we've got three designs, the Cross Edition, which is a symbol of faith, 1776 Edition, a reminder of what the country was built on, the Alex Jones Signature for the listeners, the fighters, people that refuse to back down. It's all black, tactical, clean, durable, and built for everyday use. Each belt is only $39.99. And for a limited time, you can get all designs bundled together for under $100. I think that's a phenomenal deal. Here's the thing. When it comes to the apparel, in the same way that we sell the best supplements in the entire world, that's what Bigly does, what we've always done in the past, going forward in the future, we have the best apparel. We have the best hats, the best t-shirts, the best supplements, the best belts, the best knives, the best everything, because that's what you guys demand. And like my dad always says, I'm a good salesman. I'm a great salesman. To be a great salesman, it's very simple. You don't have to pitch people on a bad product. Just have the best thing. They'll come to you already. That's what we have, and that's why we have the wide support base that we have. And I just want to say thank you to all our VIP members, and specifically, y'all really help make the show possible, make the show happen. Thank you to everybody that's ever ordered a product or even ever been to the store or shared the live links or anything like that. This is a collective. This is all us together waging info war. And as my father always says, it takes money to win a war. Help us stay in the fight. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get the methylene blue. Are you crazy? Do you not understand what this will do for your energy levels? Go get the methylene blue right now. Over 80% reorder rate. Absolutely incredible. Everything we've got, bar none, is the top rated, best item, top of the line. So if you're going to buy these things from anybody anyway, and we're all going to buy t-shirts and whatever, all going to buy toothpaste, you might as well buy them from us. Now, I guess I'm a little deep in the infomercial. I might as well just do a little plug or come back to me. 50%off.com. I've got Knockout. I've got toothpaste. I've got Rainforce. I've got all these things you thought were gone at 50%off.com. And then at JonesCBD.com, that's JonesCBD, I've got the amazing top-rated bestseller Dreamwave full-spectrum CBD with melatonin and chamomile in it. I've got the Ultra Green Nano CBD emulsified. And then I've got the Ultra Chill, which my father asked me to invent, that combines ashwagandha, theobromine, CBD, and CBG all together. And these prices, I'm asking for $37.95 for the Dreamwave. It's insane. You're never going to get a deal like that on full-spectrum CBD. I'll never go against the family. I'll never go against the family. So I won't sell anything that is going to double dip or anything. But here's the thing. Bigly, you guys don't have a sleep supplement. You don't sell melatonin and you're a supplement store. And you guys don't call me and we don't fix this problem. We could be making a lot more money. We could be having a better operation here. Have more reporters, more hours, you name it. So go ahead and give me the call. But for that initial support, support the alexjonesstore.com with all the phenomenal products. Really appreciate the plug, guys. Thank you so much for that. All right, let's go into it. Let's go ahead and pull up that, where's the Israeli article? It's not Jerusalem Times, it's another one. All right, here we go. Israel not mentioned in reported leaked draft of U.S.-Iran deal. That's from jpost.com. The United States has agreed to work with regional partners to create a comprehensive plan agreed to by both parties for the rehabilitation and economic development of the Iranian regime while ensuring financing of at least $300 billion. So there's that number again, according to the reported draft of the 14-point U.S.-Iran MOU shared on Tuesday. According to Reuters, the fund is a private investment vehicle. What? not a reconstruction or reparations program, and will not include any government money or grants. So they're going to get billionaires to fund this or something? How is this going to work? Is it going to be like where the Saudis, the UAE people, they promise us like $10 trillion over like 18 years or whatever, and it sounds nice, and they sign the thing, and there's never the money? I don't think Iran is going to ascertain or allow that. I think it's going to have to be real physical cash. And you think about $300 billion is not chump change. That's three times what we spent on the war, according to the pure monetary number, of course. Get into the missile interceptors, get into the drones, get into the radar systems, get into the bases that were destroyed. You could say maybe it's like 1.5x higher. Like, who knows? That's the real, I need to do a deep dive. Of course, it would be all estimatory, all estimates. Is estimatory a word? Or did I just make that up? I want to estimate it all because this war has to be at least a $500 billion conflict. If you look at the $300 billion we're talking about here, you look at the $100 billion we're talking about, $110, that we already spent on the war so far, and then you look at the missiles and the radar systems and the bases, it's not quantifiable. The fund will reportedly assist in fields such as energy, logistics, manufacturing, and transport. Additionally, it is said to be entirely different from the sanctioned $24 billion, so it's even more money. Again, that's why I say I need to do a complete estimate of all of it, which is discussed in a separate point in the document. Additionally, Israel has not mentioned the MOU, brought that up with Suleiman, despite the first point calling for immediate and permanent end to the war on all fronts, including Lebanon. Look at that. $113 billion right there. $113 billion. How did we get here? How is this acceptable? How do Americans not realize this is your future that's being stolen from you? We're the ones that are being disenfranchised here. Okay? Whenever they spend this money to do this retarded evil stuff, it is your children, your grandchildren's future that is being mortgaged and leveraged away as the down payment for all of it. So to act like this doesn't have, you know, a real impact going down the line, all the people in office, this is why I always talk about this, they're all over like 50, 60 years old. They're not going to be here in 40, 50 years when they have to deal with the fallout of this stuff, or even 20, 30 years, they're all going to be gone. They're all boomers. Right? So why do boomers run our government and sleepwalk us into hell, sleepwalk us into World War III, and then get righteous indignation and tell us that we're with the terrorists just because we want the war to be over? It's insane. Okay? No. No more gaslighting. No more BS. Go chew on a hard caramel candy at the nursing home. Seriously, enough is enough. You're not taking us to war. You're 80 years old or whatever. You're 95 years old. You're in Congress, whatever. And you're either voting for us to die or passing bills that want us to go die. You want me, a 23-year-old, to go die in the Middle East for Netanyahu? I am going to Mexico immediately. I am going to Canada immediately. I am draft dodging and hanging out with the thick Latinas. This is a no-brainer for me. This is easy. So when you do this stuff to me, Boomer, when you make me feel this way, Boomer, when you oppress me, Boomer, when you send me off to war to go die, Boomer, I get pretty upset because you have all the wealth, all the money, all the power. I pay out of my money, Social Security, that goes to the boomer my entire life that I'm never going to get. And they want me to go fight and die for Israel because the Bible says 3,000 years ago. And I'm supposed to not be upset. I'm supposed to sit in here and be rational and not crash out and not be mad. It is not a smart thing to do to come after old people or to say that, you know, maybe they voted disproportionately for the disenfranchisement of America. I'm not trying to make you mad out there, but if you're older and you're wise and you're an elder and not a boomer, you'll understand this because you've seen people that are not boomers that are younger than boomers. I have too. Gen X, millennial, even Gen Z that have adopted the boomer mindset. It's the neocon war hawk mindset. And that's what's leading to the destruction, degradation of our country. I'm a complete pacifist, gentleman, salesman, businessman, okay? I do not come out here and pretend to be, you know, like Hegseth said, sit on a throne at Chinese skulls or whatever. I do not claim to be like a ooh-rah tough guy or anything like that. But at the same time, I think it's a hell of a lot tougher and braver to advocate for peace and to be against war and to be against all these monsters that are trying to lead us into genocide in World War III than it is to be, I'm a tough guy and I support bombing little kids in a country you ain't ever heard of. Like, that guy needs to get slapped. I'm sorry, it's true. And just because you're a big boy, just because you passed basic training and they gave you a rifle or whatever, that does not qualify you to write off entire countries of people as subhuman. Okay? So, to people that use their military experience, military service, to somehow justify the forever wars, those medals might as well be refrigerator magnets. Okay? And the real people the real soldiers, the real Marines, the real special forces operators that have been out there in the field agree with me and think it's cowardly behavior that sends everybody off to fight and die in a meaningless war. These are people like Anthony Aguilar, who's going to join me at the start of New Hour, who have fought for real, who have done these things for real. Him and Joe Kent together on the panel with me on the panel show. Phenomenal show last Friday. You got to go rewatch that if you haven't already. They have a combined 50 years of military experience, and they're saying, we got to get out of here now, yesterday, last month, never to begin with, because they realize these conflicts aren't set up for us to win. These conflicts are set up for us to lose. And what is it that Joe Kent said? He's not against military force. If we can win, we could have never won. It was over on day one. It was over due to the geography. It was over due to the prep time. They had 20 years, okay? We helped Saddam Hussein kill 400,000 of these MFers, okay? We helped him murder a ton of them with chemical weapons. They have been preparing for a war with America for the past two decades plus, and we think we can just roll in there with the B-2 bomber and win? Are we functionally retarded? Are we insane? And Iran has proven that the future of warfare, and I'll discuss this with Anthony Aguilar coming up, the future of warfare is not limited offensive engagement where you have a bunch of jets going off aircraft carrier. The future of war is drones, is missiles, is monetarily efficient warfare. I'm going to ask him about that. Monetarily efficient warfare, that is the future. And like Joe Kent says, the best bet is simply to walk away. It's a strange game. The only way to win is not to play. All right, we're going to have Anthony Aguilar joining us here at the start of the next hour. I'm going to go ahead and do a plug. Go ahead and pull Jones CBD up. That's jonescbd.com. I want to tell people about this. I have the best deal on melatonin, blue chamomile, plus full spectrum CBD that you're ever going to find. I've got $37.95 full spectrum CBD, $37, plus melatonin, plus blue chamomile, all wrapped up into one package. That's jonescbd.com, Jones CBD. And I've got the Dreamwave, I've got the Ultra Chill, and I've got the Ultra Green. I've got a nano emulsified version. I've got a version with ashwagandha and theobromine. And I've got a version with the melatonin and the blue chamomile. That's jonescbd.com. I highly recommend y'all go check that out. Best formulas in the entire world. Best price in the entire world. Click on the Dreamwave real quick. Nobody is going to offer you a product like this at the price point I'm offering it to you at. You can use code CBD to get an additional 20% off. These are anecdotally award-winning formulas, in my view, in my opinion. People love it. Dreamwave is a rock star. Dreamwave is my top-selling product across all stores. Highly recommend that you get it. That's jonescbd.com. Just check out what I got available. I promise you won't regret it. And here's the thing. If you're buying a sleep supplement from me, buy the sleep supplement from me and then tell Bigly, hey, you didn't have one. Like they don't. They don't have a sleep product. So like, what's up with that? I do. I've got multiple. You can use Knockout if you're drug tested, you need a melatonin plus 9 botanical ingredients, or you can use the Dreamwave CBD from jonescbd.com to really get that rest, really get that sleep. If my grandma takes any more than a quarter dropper, she says she feels like she's on drugs. So I think that's a pretty good endorsement. So go ahead and go to jonescbd.com. And of course, always cut back to the King Daddy, cut back to the Mac Daddy, cut back to thealexjonesstore.com. Because if you've got the means, if you want to support this broadcast and broadcast moving forward, you want to go support places like thealexjonesstore.com. And the thing I always love hearing, and it's true, I hear it in the ads, they say it's an adventure to wear one of these shirts. And it absolutely is. I wear one of those shirts basically every single day from the old store and the new store now. I love the Bigly shirts with the fat tag. It's a new high quality shirt, that we've got. A lot of these shirts, most of the shirts we sell are that now with the fat tag. It's going to be amazing for lifting, going to be amazing for working, going to be amazing for hanging out with friends. And it's something that can connect you to other people basically instantaneously, instantly. Somebody recognizes it. They've seen the show before or they identify with the ideals, 1776, Americana, you name it. We've got all of that and more, hats, t-shirts, knives, belts, utility stuff, you name it, available at thealexjonesstore.com. InfoWar, not InfoWars. InfoWar is forever. We will be right back with Anthony Aguilar joining us after the break. I love you all. Stay tuned.
It took him 2 years to do it. When Bigly came on as our sponsor, now the owner of the Alex Jones Network and then the main backer, I said, I want gravity-fed filters. I sent them the test from previous sponsors, and I said, these guys fell off. Their quality wasn't as good. I got rid of them. This happens to these companies. There's only out of more than 50 gravity-fed companies, three or four that have the very best filters that cut everything out. They're stainless steel, and they start cutting the quality for whatever reason. I said, I want the highest rated stainless steel. I want a clone of these products, but even better. And I want filters rated this high or higher. They went out, took them 2 years. They did it. This is something everybody needs, everybody wants. There's a giant market of folks that know how wonderful gravity-fed filters are and know what quality is. We have all the tests published on the site. It's the best. There are companies selling filters that the stainless steel isn't as nice, anywhere close, and the filters aren't even the highest rated. They're selling the damn things for $400. They're selling units similar to ours, aren't even as good, for $500 retail, discounting at $400. These babies are $300 and even lower for VIP members. There is very small markup. The markup is not even 100% in these, okay? And when you're VIP, it's even lower. That is the best deal. This is a home run. This is the best. This is going to help hire new crew on top of the crew, extra crew. It's going to help get new reporters and hosts and the new network getting completed with all the equipment stuff. I mean, this is a big investment here. We're rebuilding our operations. We can't do it without you. So your word of mouth for the show, AlexJonesLive.com. Getting the free app, sharing that with others where they can get it, AlexJonesApp.com. Following us on X at Real Alex Jones. Following us on Rumble at Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. That's all critical in telling others to do that. Your word of mouth, your prayer is king, but getting these products is also critical. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it so we have a relationship with you.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm being joined now by Colonel Anthony Aguilar. We did a phenomenal panel show last week on Friday with him and Joe Kent. Got into Section 224, got into the Iran war, got into everything. News moves so fast that now over the weekend, now it's Tuesday already. It feels like a month in the future. We've got this prospective MOU. So I just asked Suleiman about it. He's a frequent guest over on Moral Resistance as well. Definitely a YouTube channel worth following, Moral Resistance on YouTube. Anthony Aguilar, how are you doing? And what's your opinion on the facts on the ground today? Hold on, we got audio problem. I don't know why I can't hear you. I apologize. Got a bit of an audio problem there. Okay. Now, I'm still unable to hear you. It's all good. We'll cover it here in a second. While y'all worked it out with him, I'm going to read this article really quick from the Financial Times. Iran's government thinks it has won the war. I mean, thinks it's won the war. I mean, look at the MOU. I mean, they're going to get $300 billion, right? Iran state television blasted out victory anthems. Of course, you think that was what's going to happen if they're going to be given, you know, billions of dollars and the war is going to be over and the U.S. is going to withdraw. I really want to talk to Anthony about all this stuff, guys. Do we have his audio figured out?
How about now?
Oh, I got you. I got you in my ear. Thank you so much. You're saving me today. How are you doing, Anthony?
It was a fault on my end. My Bluetooth disconnected, but I'm back now.
Gotcha.
Yeah, as I read through the memorandum of understanding and where it stands right now, and to remind everyone, it hasn't been signed yet. There's been... Right. Signing of accepting the MOU as it is before we go into signing of the official acknowledgement of it on Friday the 19th. I believe that's going to take place in Switzerland. But looking at the MOU as it stands now, this is unquestionably victory for Iran.
Right.
And the reason is such is that the United States embarked upon this war without clear strategic, winnable, achievable objectives, which simply sets a nation on a course of failure.
Yes.
And what we're seeing in this MOU reflects exactly that. When we look at each aspect of what Iran has gained, of what Iran has lost, of what the United States has gained, of what the United States has lost, this is a clear win for Iran.
Right.
Now and in the future, if this MOU, one, if it lasts till Friday, because there's always the Israel question.
Yes.
And beyond Friday going into this 60-day period, If it survives that. This MOU is no more than an agreement upon terms of a ceasefire, right, not an end to the war.
Yeah, it's an agreement to negotiate further with that 60-day period that could possibly be stretched out, you know, and I would think, just going back into history, look at other conflicts that have kind of been prolonged and then strung out, look at North Korea, South Korea. Do you think, and really quick, just a short answer here, because we've got a network break coming up in like a minute and a half, do you think long-term peace is achievable with the current governments involved?
I think that long-term peace is achievable, though it may be tenuous. It is achievable with the U.S. and Iran. As long as Israel is involved, no.
I agree with that. We're going to be right back with Colonel Anthony Aguilar. I want to remind everybody it's going to be important to go to thealexjonesstore.com for the best supplements, the best vitamins, minerals, nutraceuticals, as well as the apparel. I'm going to keep plugging it because it's important for people to know. We've got the new belt. We've got the new nylon tactical belt. We've got three variations on that. That is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com for only $39.99. Support the operation. Support independent media. These are high-quality products you need already. We've got the wallets. We've got knives. We've got belts. You name it. If you want to support independent media, money don't go anywhere else other than to sponsor this operation. You want everything we've got available at thealexjonesstore.com. We are going to be right back with Anthony Aguilar, a Green Beret, Lieutenant Colonel, and a Special Forces officer. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after the break.
InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
alexjoneslive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
The best 3 hours on the internet besides the Alex Jones Show on radio and TV as well. Wherever you're watching us, thank you so much. The War Room Live, your guest host, Rex Jones, in studio. We had Suleiman on earlier today. We're discussing the details of the leaked draft of the MOU, its possibility, probability, and the other factors in the region. Joining me now is Colonel Anthony Aguilar. Anthony, we were talking on the break about the possibility of, you know, some sort of a surprise ingredient that Israel throws in before Friday to derail the memorandum of understanding. Getting further into that, what do you think? What kind of black swan event could be creeping around the corner?
Well, I think that we know that Israel will continue attacks in Lebanon, regardless of the verbiage of this memorandum of understanding.
Right.
What we've seen is what I would call patience exercised by Iran in commitment to this MOU and not responding to the strikes that we've already seen yesterday and today by Israel directly in the face of this working agreement between the United States and Iran. So I think that Israel is going to launch major attacks into Lebanon, against Beirut, into more forces into the south. There has been reports that Israeli forces are moving in the south, but reconsolidating, reorganizing, and reestablishing composition and disposition for a future attack could look like a withdrawal to a certain point, depending on what Israel's tactical plan is or what type of attacks they intend to do, whether that be by air or by artillery or larger munitions.
Right.
So what we're seeing on the battlefield in southern Lebanon, to me, does not look like a withdrawal. It looks like a reconsolidation and reorganization much like what we saw U.S. forces in World War II in the Battle of the Bulge, where we pulled out to reconsolidate to then push back against the Germans and break the line.
Right.
This could be something along those lines. I don't take it as a retreat or withdrawal. And I think that Israel has planned some sort of larger attack against Lebanon to really push the limits, push the terms of this agreement that that Israel does not want the United States to go into.
Right.
I think that's been made very clear to us by the response in Israel, and also by the response, by AIPAC here in the United States. AIPAC right. made a formal statement stating that, Israel should retain the right to reserve, continued attacks in Lebanon.
Oh no.
That should be very clear where AIPAC stands on this.
Wow, that's brutal. And this is the thing, is like, we're the voters. We're supposed to vote for anti-war, pro-peace policy, which is what we thought we elected in Trump. And this is why I'm so passionately anti-war and against all this now, really against him, is promises were made and those same promises were broken. Now we see him come out and he admits the truth, Anthony, on tape, on video. He's sitting with the UAE and he goes, yeah, well, you don't have to blow up an entire building to get one guy. And like, he mentions a drone attack,
yes.
mentions a disproportionate response. He knows. He knows why this is continuing. He understands what the axis of resistance is and the fact that they say, hey, we want a complete stop, a ceasefire on all fronts. That includes Lebanon. Netanyahu can't just go blow up an entire apartment block or city block whenever he feels like it. What is the military reality for people, you know, in senior levels of our government, our military, our armed forces that have to essentially sit on their hands and watch stuff like this happen?
He's done an amazing job of pulling it together. He's not a Boy Scout, but he's done an amazing job of pulling it together. And he is very good with Hezbollah, does not like them. And I'll tell you what, Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long, and too many people are being killed. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody, because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses, and they're not all Hezbollah, that I can tell you.
All right, what are your thoughts on that shocking admission?
I'll tell you, that is I think in the time that I've seen that Donald Trump has been president, the clearest admonishment of military tactics employed by Israel in Lebanon. It
right.
also clearly applies to Gaza.
Yes.
That in order to go after one person or a leader, you don't have to level an entire neighborhood or an entire apartment complex.
Right.
And Donald Trump made that very clear in his way of showing that, yeah, it's not okay. And the world is tired of it.
Right.
And the reason, and here's what exposes that even further. And the president acknowledging this then leads even those in MAGA or the base to ask, yeah, why do they do that? So when you look at this, it clearly reveals that the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, are not a good army.
Right.
They are not an effective, proficient, capable military. They are very capable of dropping 2,000-pound bombs from F-35s, of which we have given them, and dropping bombs from which we have given them, on dropping on using intelligence and targets for which
sure.
that we have helped them with.
Sure.
But when it comes to going in on the ground, as we've seen in southern Lebanon, toe-to-toe on the ground, Hezbollah versus the IDF lose. On the
right.
ground, in Gaza, the IDF versus Hamas. The IDF loses.
Right.
The IDF is not a good army. They have a very good bombing force. They have a very good force that can kill women and children or occupy land against unarmed, starving people.
Yes.
But when it comes to actually having to face a resistance or a threat or opposition that is capable, they do not have the capability.
Yes.
We've seen that.
Yes, and this is the key, okay? And I'm not a military man, although I'm a decent tactician. I think I understand history to, a decent level, relatively decent level. Of course, not on a military man's level like you or the guy I'm about to reference, Lawrence Wilkerson. He says, look, they're so inexperienced and so used to rolling over on, like you say, unarmed civilians and people oppressing them, terrorizing them. They roll the Merkava tanks in altogether. They don't space them out. They don't spread them out. So they go, oh, Hezbollah blows up the first one, the last one, then the ones in the middle. They can't get out of there. Then they all get killed, right? And then you've got the Israelis sitting there that have been brought into the war, even though they support it and want it. And they're losing a lot of people. Netanyahu is not going far enough in their view. They want more. What does an expansion mm-hmm. look like? What does it mean if they're losing on the ground like you're talking about and they're not able to effectuate regime change or what they want from the air? What do they do?
Well, that's why Israel wants to continue this war, both not only in Gaza against Palestinians, but also in Lebanon against the Lebanese. And not, it's not just Hezbollah. It's against all
right,
of Lebanon.
Right.
I mean, we saw that 2 weeks ago, Israel targeted and assassinated a Lebanese army senior officer.
We got a little bit of a camera problem there. Go ahead and cut back to me for a second. So, disconnected. He'll be right back. Everything he's saying is true and more. Okay. Well, he's talking about Lebanese army, right? That's not Hezbollah, but we're killing that guy or they're killing that guy. I'm sure the excuse is he worked with Hezbollah or whatever. I'm going to be very excited to ask Anthony what he thinks about Syria and al-Julani and the prospect of them coming in, because everything he just said about how it's not just Hezbollah, they're fighting against all of Lebanon. That means you're going to have Syria fighting against all of Lebanon. And how is Iran going to tolerate that? I don't think they are. I don't think that they will. Anthony's rejoining us now. Just a quick audio check. You good? Copy?
Audio check. I got you.
All right. Beautiful. Okay. I was about to ask you, with all that being said, talking about all of Lebanon, not just Hezbollah, that Israel's having to fight against, what happens with Syria? Because as we know, whatever they say, his name is not al-Shara. His name is al-Julani. He is the former regional head of al-Qaeda. He is a terrorist head chopper. He has killed thousands of people, religious minorities, Christians, Shia Muslims, brutally murdered them. And that is our guy at the White House that Trump is saying, hey, we're going to bring the Syrians in because the Israelis IDF isn't doing a good enough job. What does that mean for the Lebanese people?
Yeah, this is a betrayal and a sellout to the Lebanese. And, in Lebanon, you have a very rich culture of Christians and Muslims and Arab culture and
right.
Levantine culture. This is not just this ubiquitous where the United States likes to characterize Muslim Arabs as the threat or the enemy.
Right.
This is a nation that has much of the reflection of cultures and ethnicity and religious breakup or makeup as that of the United States.
Right.
And when you look at that in terms of, well, let's stop the IOF from doing it. Let's bring in Syria. How about we stop altogether? How about we stop occupying and bringing oppression to the Lebanese people?
Yes.
And stop with wars on all fronts and allow Lebanon to dictate its future within and to determine, here is the threat of Hezbollah. Here's what we as a government ascertain it to be in terms of what we see as the threat internal. Because I'll tell you, if the Israeli Defense Forces weren't a continuous, constant, ubiquitous, omnipotent threat to Lebanon, that perhaps Hezbollah would be more willing to work with the government.
Right.
But the reason we don't see that is because the Lebanese government continues to take the knee or capitulate to Israel, and Hezbollah isn't going to stand for that. Hezbollah is going to resist that occupation.
Right.
So to try to send in it's like this idea of the old lady that swallowed a fly, right? She swallowed a fly, so she swallowed a spider.
Right.
So not the IOF, so then we're going to send in Syrian forces. Like, how about we just don't swallow the fly?
Right.
Don't swallow the spider to swallow the fly. How about we just stop swallowing things?
100%. And that's why I love so much what Joe Kent said last time when we were on together on the panel show, just declare victory and go home. That's really what needs to happen here. We just got to go. And everyone that says, it's not possible because X, Y, Z, Hezbollah, Hamas. That's my Mark Levin impression if you didn't catch on. Everyone that says that is literally, in my opinion, as a broadcaster, anecdotally, an enemy of America. Okay? Anybody that wants more Americans to die, more American munitions to be used, more American bases to be blown up, more sons and daughters of yours to not exist anymore, that is an enemy of the country because they're an enemy of the country's future. But you think about it from their perspective, when a Mark Levin talks about the country, when even people in the cabinet talk about the country, who are they talking about? They're not even talking about us. They're talking about Israel. Okay? Trump had a plus 23 3 weeks ago in Israel. People loved him. I'm being next prime minister, all that. Now he's negative 23. Now he's down 23 points.
Yes.
From that point. Maybe talk yes. about that a little bit. Well, you know, his real constituents.
His real constituents, his approval rating has tanked all because the president does not want to continue seeking war with Israel's neighbors on behalf of Israel, under the flag and banner and resources and bodies and lives and blood and treasure of Americans. And anyone across the board that wants to be war hawkish and cheer for war in my opinion, is disgusting and yes. not a patriot of any country. But then to want to fight war on behalf of another country while using the blood and treasure and lives of Americans to do it, and looking at, you know, that there's no win for America in this is right. any more of a betrayal. And when you look at the, you know, the, let's just take Afghanistan as one example of many in our modern history, but let's right. take the example of Afghanistan to where each along the way, every year, we did not fight a 21-year war in Afghanistan. We fought 21 one-year wars in Afghanistan to where the strategy always changed, the objective always changed, the this is going to win the war golden prize has always changed, and it changed over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And there were points along the way where if we would have just left, if we would have just said, you know what, we've achieved what we needed for U.S. security, we can't fix everything, we're only going to make things worse, let's just leave. But we get into this sunk cost theory of, oh, we put so much into it, we have to stay. And at the end of it, all said and done, when we left and the big bad Taliban that we've always said hates America and would kill us at the earliest right. chance they got, there we are on the tarmac, on the runway of Hamid Karzai International Airport, negotiating with and begging the Taliban to cover our backs as we left so we wouldn't get shot out of the sky by ISIS Khorasan, and negotiating with the Taliban. And when that came to be, did the Taliban want us to leave under threat and duress? No, the Taliban were like, yeah, leave. Right. We wanted you to leave for years. Right. Leave, and this won't be a problem. You won't be a problem. We won't be a problem. Leave.
Right.
So what we're now realizing in this situation now is like, huh, you know, maybe it shouldn't take us 20 years to realize we made a really bad mistake. We shouldn't have gone into this war. The evidence was clear from day right. one, from February 27th, before the alert was made to conduct these strikes on the 28th. It was a bad idea. But to think that we're not going to spend 20 years and billions of dollars learning that mistake, and that we're saying now is the time, okay, cut what we have and leave.
Yes.
It's not a win, but it's not necessarily a loss.
Yeah, hey.
I think the U.S. Yeah. this is kind of a draw.
Yeah, it's a bad thing to get addicted to drugs, right? But you get addicted,
right.
you withdraw, you recover, you go through it, and then you're sober again. The country needs to sober up. We're high, we're literally IV drug mainlining innocent civilian blood to keep us in this frenzy.
Yes.
And it's got to end. And it's this really demonic spirit
it's
that I think...
It's an expensive habit.
Yes. Now go ahead and go into that a little bit. Go into that
a little bit. I'm saying, you know, like the analogy that you made with drugs. I mean, war is an expensive endeavor.
Yes.
From, you know, not just the military industrial complex and what it charges per missile or per bullet or per tank in the billions of billions, but think about this war with Iran, and this is reflected right now in our National Defense Authorization Act. And I would say that the most existential threat to America right now isn't a country or a terrorist organization or an enemy. The biggest threat to our nation's security right now is our national debt.
Yes.
Because it is like, for example, when I had a top secret security clearance, they look through your whole history of your life and mistakes you may have made. But the number one indicator to where you might be a threat to national security is your debt. Do you have a whole bunch of debt? Because can you be paid off? Can you
right.
be bought off?
Right.
Well, right now, when you look at our national debt and the level that it's at, that is our greatest threat to security. And when you look at this particular war with Iran, this war was not forecasted. This war was not budgeted. So last year, when the United States cut its National Defense Authorization Act for $196 billion,
right.
this war was not included in that. And now when the United States is looking at our next NDAA, right now, the one that includes this giving the farm away to Israel
yes.
for $1.55 trillion, that also doesn't include the cost that we've incurred, about half a trillion, from this war with Iran.
Yes.
So that has to be reconciled.
Yes.
So when the pen is signed and the ink dries on the National Defense Authorization Act for 2027, it's going to be over $2 trillion. And we can't afford it.
That's what Americans need to understand. Our national debt is greater than our treasury reserve. Like you said last time, it's just one sentence, but it's intolerable. We cannot live like this. And even more so than that, we cannot have an executive agent that is appointed by the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War, to be a secondary Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War that only answers to the president and does not answer to Congress and is to put Israel, this is what the bill says, verbatim, in ascendancy. In all forms of R&D, technological development, military use, whatever. It is literally a marriage of our two countries. And I think that's something that really like 80 to 90% of Americans, if they had it explained to them, they wouldn't want that. And that's what gives me hope moving forward in the future. I don't know about your aspirations, Ken aspirations, anybody's aspirations, but I really hope we really need as young people, we need people with the experience, to go out there to support. Like I need somebody like a you or like a Joe Kent, like somebody that I say, hey, he's got the experience. He understands the cost of war and he doesn't want to take us to war again. This is what younger Americans are going to demand. And it's going to be a thing as to where I use this analogy. You have like a glass of water and then you have ice over it and the ice is gradually melting over time, but you can't pour the water out until the ice is gone. I love the boomers. My grandparents are boomers. We're going to enter an age in the coming decades where it's Gen X people, millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha that are voting, that are living in this world, that want a better life. And hey, hopefully, God willing, God bless, I got a lot of time left on the planet. I don't want to live in a hell pit that we created. And I don't think anybody does. And the key to all that is understanding the national debt and understanding that we need candidates that are going to prioritize making America solvent again instead of insolvent. That's right. Right now, we're insolvent. Go into that a little bit.
It is. Yeah, we are absolutely insolvent when the that great debt clock that you showed in the previous segment when we did this with Joe Kent.
Throw it up again.
When you look at the amount of debt, just the amount of debt, just the amount of interest on that debt is greater than our GDP.
Right.
So not only are we insolvent, we're not bringing in enough money to even pay the interest on our debt. So every month that we're, let's say, set it up like a, like you're paying a mortgage, right? Except this is like a 1,000-year mortgage.
Right.
When you pay your mortgage every month, we all know that when you pay your mortgage, a big chunk is going to interest, a little bit goes to principal, a little bit goes to your escrow. And if you specifically dictate, I want to make a little bit of extra payment to that principal to actually buy down a couple years in the future. It's you can do that. But in reality, if you just stick to that maturation payment plan out to the 30-year mark, you pay for your house like three times over just in interest alone.
Right.
Imagine, if you will, if every time you paid your mortgage every month, you were not paying a single penny to your principal. You were only paying off the interest. But in fact, every payment you made every month, you were only paying off the interest of that principal, but your principal was going up.
Right.
So, could you imagine the financial situation you would find yourself in? That is where our nation is.
Right.
So when you think about all of these things that we want to fund in the National Defense Authorization Act, let alone the things that we need to fund with the Department of Homeland Security or the Department of Housing or the Department of Education, or the Department of the Interior, all these things that we cannot afford. That is a clear and present danger to the security of our nation. Because
yes.
Who holds all that debt? Who hold, you know, when I pay my mortgage company and I pay them and they take that interest and they get to keep my note, and they have all that equity. They get to reinvest that note. They get to take that money as theirs in reinvestment while I continue to pay their interest, which makes them more money.
Yes.
Well, who holds that for us? Well, that's China. That's Japan. That's Russia. Right. Based on how much we're going to give up to Iran in terms of lifting of sanctions, giving them whatever frozen assets there are, etc., Iran's going to own a part of that.
Yes.
Wow. Have their tables.
Total victory. That's what they'll say. That's what they'll sell it as. They'll say, hey, at least we didn't literally give them money like Obama did. And it's like, that doesn't matter. They're getting $300 billion anyway. We wasted $110 billion in military equipment. We got all our bases and radars destroyed for unknown billions of dollars. The true cost of all of this comes out in the wash, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. And then we'll all be sitting here having conversations, watching documentaries, reading books. And at least we can say, Anthony, that we're on the right side of history on this one, and no new wars. No more forever wars. No more wars in the Middle East. It's done. It's over. None of the young people will accept it. It makes me angry It makes me very, very mad. It makes a lot of people out there very, very mad. There are still people blindly supporting this because they think it's tough. They think it's cool. They think it's something. War is a dead body. I don't know anything about war because I haven't been there, but I know, like, Socrates knew that he knew nothing, right? I don't want to know. I don't want to know about any of it. So when I go on my phone and I've seen the stuff in Lebanon and Gaza that we're directly paying for or funding or doing ourselves, when I see it and they tell me it's not real, it's something to be written off, it's just like that national debt. You know, it's like they're playing a game of musical chairs and there's no music. Like, it's over. We're cooked. We're cooked. So we have to mitigate the damage. We have to get into how we're going to do that. Coming back in the next segment, I'll ask you a few more questions about your vision for an American future, what we can do as American citizens going forward. Anthony Aguilar, thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Three big announcements right now. We have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition. And then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, in the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one. Very simple. America 250 Years Strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, Ride Fast, Live Free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 Free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the Deep State. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can, you know, promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you really got to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com. New America's 250th birthday limited edition, July 4th, apparel now available. And right now, introductory, they're 30% off all apparel on the site, not just the American 250th birthday limited editions. It's only available for a month and a half. These designs are limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it. So we have a relationship with you. And so the only way you miss out is not getting our T3, our bovine colostrum, our ultramethylene red, our Shilajit, our Irish sea moss. They're all amazing. But if you do anything, methylene blue and the water filtration system, when you take this out of the box, I've never seen, I went and checked. It's the highest stainless steel there is. And it turned out it wasn't that much more. I mean, it was somewhat more, another 30% more to have this. But, I mean, it's just standalone. Nobody's got anything even close to this. I congratulations, Bigley. I am very impressed. Very, very impressed. I know a winner when I see it. And this sexy beast is going to help so many people cut out all the garbage out of their water. One of the biggest things you can do, take control of your life. And it's going to fund this operation. So I am literally in love with this. It looks like Marilyn Monroe to me right now. I forget the term when you're attracted to, like, sports cars and objects. I've never been sexually attracted to, like, a sports car, though I thought they're cool. Never been sexually attracted to... I'm actually being a little sarcastic, but I'm not. I'm actually physically attracted to this right now, okay? This is... because I know it's going to help people. I'm being silly. Actually, kind of not. What sexy is it's great. I know a home run when I see it, and I know this is just another big victory. So thank you so much for all you and your support, and Bigley knocking out of the park.
weeks and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Well, I got the final segment of today's War Room here, joined by Anthony Aguilar. Of course, phenomenal man, phenomenal Green Beret, wealth of military experience, and of course, technical experience dealing with the Middle East and all these things. I want to get into, you know, a more grand vision of the future, what Anthony sees as both like the positive outcome and negative outcome as to like what we could aspire to if we turn around here, if we wake the people up, versus what's going to happen if we do nothing. Anthony, what happens if good people do something here?
If enough good people take action and do something, we can absolutely change this. The whole reason I'm actually putting skin in the game to run for Congress or to sacrifice myself on the world stage and putting my name out there, not being anonymous, not being someone that isn't sacrificing and investing in this. But the reason I'm willing to is because I do feel that we can make this change. I see a clear path, a clear vision, and it's not that hard. It's not that hard. There's just it's kind of the analogy that you drew with drugs, you know.
Yes.
Like when you're addicted to drugs, the path out is clear. Stop using them.
Yes.
That may take, you know, a lot of hard work. Yeah. It's going to take hard work and it's going to be real hard and you're going to have to lean on the shoulders of others and you're going to have to ask for help and you're going to have to realize that you can't do it alone. But at the end of the day, it's not a hard concept.
Yes.
And I think right now when we look at the United States, you know, why do we continue to have members of our Congress in the Senate, in the House that continue to vote for war, 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 war?
Yes.
Because much like being hooked on a drug, they are addicted to money.
Yes.
They are addicted to not only money, they are addicted to being rich. They're addicted to
fake power. Fake power.
Power.
Yeah.
Fake power. They think that it gives them that power. And you look at, you know, across the board, I find it betrayal to the nation. I find it absolute disgusting that any member of Congress, any senator and any representative is allowed to or will or does take or receive money from anybody whatsoever at all.
Right.
Like, if you are a member of Congress or you are a member of the Senate and the House within our Congress, that is a selfless service job. That is a duty. That is a sacrifice of service to your nation. And the paycheck that the taxpayer puts forth to pay you in recognition of your service and sacrifice is enough. You shouldn't be investing in the military industrial complex. You shouldn't go into Congress and leave 40 years later. Nancy Pelosi, this year when she retires, 40 years.
Yes.
40 years. That's 20 Congresses. She has served in our Congress from the 100th Congress to the 120th Congress. And I would ask anybody across the board with people that we've had for 30, 35, 40 years, the Strom Thurmonds who served until they were in their 90s, what do they have to show for it?
Well, the country's gotten much worse under the rule of these people. And that's the thing, is like, past behavior is the greatest indicator of future behavior. What have these people done to us? Like, what have they done to the country? They did Iraq to the country. They did Afghanistan to the country. They did Libya to the country. They did Syria to the country. Now they're doing Iran to the country. All of it over and over and over again, like the insane man who, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Anthony, what would you do to change things up? What would your different approach be?
Well, first and foremost, I would push to get legislation on. Again, I'm running for the House of Representatives. So my legislative pushes would be through resolutions, House resolutions.
Right.
But there is no limit as a representative of Congress in the House of Representatives to legislation that you can push forward.
Right.
It may not succeed, but there's no limit. Oh, you proposed a House resolution last week. You can't do another one.
No, it's about It's about, I don't know if you've ever seen A Bug's Life, right, with the grasshoppers and the ants and all of that. And the ants, essentially, they have to work for the grasshoppers all day. And the grasshoppers come in, they terrorize, and they're mean to them. They keep them as slaves, basically. But when one ant stands up, they got to crush that one ant because they're afraid that all the ants are going to stand up. If you get one guy in Congress, like a Massey, like a Rokana, that's saying these things, calling out Epstein files or forever wars, all the things that we really care about, people start noticing that and paying attention to that. Now, the route of doing that, reason why you do that, is very different than everyone else who says the things that are approved by the party so they can get the money, the big special interests, the big donors, push the wars just like everybody else. You go in that different direction because you're not interested in the money. You're not interested in the wars. You're interested in the people and what the people want. And the people have voted over and over and over again, election after election. The people have voted against this stuff. So I think whether it's you, whether it's Massey, whether it's anybody going into Congress, even if it's just one more good person, that's a plus one added to the zero that we basically got now because they got rid of him. So, like, what do you have to say about not just yourself, but others that you would like to encourage to be involved in the political process, specifically with your experience, right? Because if I was to go up there and run, they'd say, oh, you don't know anything about war. We got to do it because Mark Levin says so. If you go up there and say, hey, these wars are barbaric, evil. We've lost $10 trillion and the debt is unstable and we can't live like this. They can't really impeach your credibility. What do you have to say to that?
So first of all, I'd say in terms of participating in the in our freedoms and our process, I mean, freedom is not a spectator sport.
Right.
You have to be involved. And the first thing I would say to everybody, let's just start across the board.
Right.
Let's just get out there and actually vote.
Yes.
Like, let's actually exercise the most sacred of the rights that we have, right, which is the gateway to being able to change anything and everything, is getting out there and voting. And right now in this country, when you have 67% of 70% of the population that's eligible to vote, and you only have a percentage of that that votes, and you take it all down, it's about 48%. We have a 48% voting rate. That really, one of our most sacred rights as a nation, we do less than 0.5%.
Right.
So get out there and vote. But then when people say, oh, well, we can't, we, you know, you're never going to break the party system, this and that. Well, we will if
right.
people go and vote for other candidates.
Right.
And, you know, if, like, I'll give you an example in my district, the Republican incumbent, he doesn't even live in the district.
Wow.
So, for everybody in North Carolina District 13, when you go to the voting booth and you sit there and you you open up your little book and you see U.S. Congress, House of Representatives, District 13. Oh, that's me. Ooh, who do we have? Aguilar, Knott. Okay, who's this guy? Okay, let's see. Oh, I'm going to pick this guy.
Right.
Oh, the guy that you just picked, the incumbent Republican that you voted because you vote along party lines.
Right.
Doesn't even live in the district that you are in. He doesn't even live in, that's like voting for a senator that doesn't even live in the state.
Right.
That's like voting for a president that doesn't even live in the country.
Hey, like, some would say we did that.
Because people aren't informed.
Yeah, some would say we did that. Some would say we voted for Netanyahu and not Trump and we just didn't know about it. And yeah. this is what I always say. I'm not a donkey. I'm not an elephant. I'm not on either one of your plantations. I'm a human being. I'm an American patriot. I'm a free man. Just like everybody else, free woman in this country. Every person should be free. We should be emancipated from a foreign government that's leading us to do all this and from the domestic people that are in our government that have taken it over and are using it as an opportunity to grift. They are going in there
yes.
and trading on the stock market. Pelosi, all of them making millions
yes.
and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
And then to add on to that, Anthony, this is just an interesting curveball to throw to you. I look at the prediction markets and I'm like, how is this legal? Like, how is this going on? We've got insiders that verifiably 100% with factual knowledge of what's going to happen, you know, just like, oh, we're going to trust them to not bet on it. What? What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, Nancy Pelosi, as you mentioned, and others are exactly that example of people that throughout their time in Congress have used their opportunities in Congress, not only as a career, but to grift and to get rich. And not just be wealthy and not just make, you know, make enough to be comfortable in their
right.
post-career life, not to mention the fact that they get a retirement, a handsome retirement for the rest of their lives.
Right.
But they grift. They invest in the military industrial complex. They place, you know, they put their bets on the odds of one thing over another, like starting a war or or pushing for certain things. I'll give you something that I experienced firsthand. This is something that I witnessed, I lived, and I experienced where Senator Tom Cotton, he is a senator of Arkansas, Republican. He is the Intel Oversight Committee chair in the Senate. The person that just authored 622 as part of the intelligence fusion of the Mossad and the US CIA. That guy.
Yes.
So that guy, a couple years ago when I'm still active duty, I'm at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, US Special Operations Command. We're doing a showcase. It's called a capability exercise for these different types of weapon systems. And he was there, and, you know, they bring congressmen around, senators and reps to look at things. And afterwards, Senator Cotton was very interested in this. And I was like, didn't expect Senator Cotton to have direct interest in it because it wasn't necessarily he doesn't lead the Senate Armed Services Committee, more intelligence. This wasn't really an intelligence thing. It was more of a, you know, of a kinetic weapon, but he was super interested in it. And he actually knew more about it than I did because he came up and he was like, hey, did you know that the warhead for this loitering munition made by Israel, by the way, true story, made by Israel, that warhead that's made by Israel, they set up a headquarters and they set it up in Camden, Arkansas.
Wow.
And I was like, I didn't know that, sir. I was like, why does that pertain to you? And he was like, I'm a senator from Arkansas. And I was like, okay, seems like a gray area there. So you're pushing for this? So then for the next month, I had to prepare and then go to Washington, D.C. and brief Senator Cotton and his staff and others on this particular weapon system because they wanted to tell the DOD. Right. They wanted to tell DOD, hey, DOD, you want this thing. And our position, the subject matter experts were like, there's better stuff. It's actually made in America. There's better capabilities that are made in America. Well, they're not assembled in Camden, Arkansas. So Senator Tom Cotton, with his power and authority in the Senate as a member of, not the chair of, but a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee and in other committees, was able to push for the DOD to buy that thing by saying, hey, DOD, if you don't buy this, maybe I don't back you on that. And then, so now there you go. That is it right there. So this missile factory is now just outside of Camden, Arkansas. And where does Senator Tom Cotton live? He owns a beautiful mansion in that exact same town.
Wow. Go figure. I guess he got a good deal on that probably as well. It's pretty nuts, the level of corruption.
So it's not just a matter of power and politics. It's a matter of personal benefit to some of these members of Congress.
Right.
That's what we have to cut out. We have to get rid of all of that. There should be no member of Congress that takes any money from anybody, not from AIPAC, not from QPAC, not from ZPAC, not from SIXPAC, not from any PAC, from no PAC. No money. Any member of our Congress, representative or senator, should not take a single penny from anyone. And they should not go. I'll tell you, every time I go to D.C., and when I go up there, I spend about a week. And every single day that I'm there and I go to the office buildings, the Hart, the Cannon, the Longworth, and I go to these meetings every afternoon, 4 o'clock, you're coming out. There's all these down, up and down the hall. It almost looks like a trade convention of little social hours, you know, little champagne set up or little hors d'oeuvres and all these little organizations out there just waiting for all of the congressmen to come out of their offices to leave for the day.
Right.
And just, hey, oh, I'm so-and-so. Hey, I'm so-and-so. This and that. And just this little small talk that then leads to favors, that then leads to money, that then leads to before you know it, they're in the NDAA.
Yes.
And before you know it, they're taking over our country. And it starts there. That shit should end.
Yes, absolutely. Cannot agree more with what you just said there. When it comes to all of this, like you think about your day, and they always say you're the sum of the people you spend the most time with, or the five people you spend the most time with. If you're an empty suit, if you're given, you know, like $500,000 by AIPAC to win an election, and you go up there to the Hill, and then all you have all day are these paid off lemmings that are ingratiating you to get you into their scams and their grifting and their wheeling and dealing, then what are you doing up there on the Hill? Even if maybe you had some novel idea of like a positive aspiration, you're instantly co-opted into the system by the very notion and idea of taking the money to begin with. That's why we need people like you, people like Joe Kent, many others out there running. People, you gotta understand, small dollar donation is critical to getting new candidates in there that we can actually change the system and do something about what's going on now. I would like to see, you know, honestly, I'd like to see publicly funded elections. I'd like to see, you know, small dollar campaigns. Yes. I'd like to see that. We have to have a major overhaul of this system. The system doesn't work. And we can say it's
elections, especially at the local level, and more so, you know, because all politics are local, but within every election, let's say in my election,
right,
all of these small dollar donations that I take in, that's not to make me rich. That's right. not to buy me a new watch because it's important for my image. If you want me to be your congressman, I got to look good in D.C., right? I got to represent. I got to have that suit. You know, like when, you know, in a small election like this, when you have that money coming in, that should be that's to keep the lights on. That's to keep the campaign running. That's to do, you know, your finance registration, your FEC registration, all those little things that cost money. You shouldn't be doing it to get rich. And at the end of that, let's say you win your campaign, then anything you have left in that campaign, you don't get to be like, "Ooh, I'm beefing that up for the next campaign."
Oh, man.
Maybe you're 2 years in Congress. You suck.
Yeah.
And people don't want you after that. So that money that you took in to then get you into office should then immediately go back to the people.
Yes. No, 100%. They shouldn't be able to profit and build a future war chest. No. I totally agree with that. And that just shows you, I didn't even consider that, but of course they do that. Of course.
Incumbent that I'm running against stepped into this election cycle with $8 million in the bank.
I can't even, I'm going to fall out of my chair.
For a congressional district. You could literally pay every eligible voter in our district money as they walked in to vote, and you still wouldn't need $8 million.
Right. Well, that shows you.
That's what he had going in. And Brad Knott, the incumbent that I'm running against in this district, is an AIPAC recipient.
Wow. How much money from AIPAC do you know?
This year, just for this period, like since the election cycle began post primary, we had our primaries in North Carolina in March. He's up into the over 100,000.
Wow.
But here's the thing, and this is where you can see this trajectory. When he first started, this would be his second run. He's the incumbent by one term. So 2 years ago when he ran in 2024 when he ran and won as a new guy, it only cost AIPAC a little to buy him off. It only took a little bit. But now the price has gone up. He's gained some notoriety. He's a more of a powerful candidate. He's got a little bit more leeway. He's no longer a freshman congressman. He's going to be going in on some committees.
Right.
He's going to be able to be a chair in a few things, which he will do. So the price has gone up. And that's why you see the longer people serve. Look at the Pelosi's, right? How much does Nancy Pelosi take from AIPAC?
Can we pull that up, crew? Yeah, I'm flying a spaceship here. They can pull that up basically instantly. Crew, tell us how much Pelosi got from AIPAC. This is why we need people like you. And I'm not trying to push anybody to run. I know you're running already. I don't know about Kent, but I'm so happy that you're in this race and in this fight. We need actual men and women in the arena with the experience and skin in the game, like we said last time, to where when you get introduced to this little like wheeling and dealing parlor trick stuff, whereas, you know, some lawyer chungus that gets the position because, you know, they thought it would be cool to be a politician, they're going to go along for the game. You've been to war. This is nothing. So, like, you're in a fight for your country domestically in that arena, taking that same energy forward, being a true patriot. And that's what separates you from these people. Nancy Pelosi, if she was given a red button that says, hey, if you push this, you're going to die, but you'll save the country, she wouldn't push the red button. She'd let America die. And the same Democrat, Republican, everybody, they have this position, but you're somebody different. I know you wouldn't push that button, right? Like, I know that you would sacrifice yourself for the country because you already went over there to serve our nation, and coming back, you understand the true cost of all these policies. Go ahead.
I was like, look at Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah. Go ahead and pull that back up. Make a comment.
So for anybody that thinks this money, this grift is a Republican or a Democrat thing. Oh no.
Right. Mm-hmm. Two wings, same bird. That's literally what we're dealing with.
And some of these numbers you pull up, like I was looking at some numbers before, just kind of scrolling through it. AIPAC tracker and track AIPAC and looking through some of them, I was like, there's some in Congress that take well over multi-millions of dollars. There's some that are up in the high numbers.
Right.
And higher numbers, I would say. But when you look at that, to me, it's absolutely disingenuous to the American people to represent a district or a state and to represent the people, your neighbors. Like for me, like the guy that I'm running against, he doesn't see the people of our district as his neighbors because he doesn't even live in the district.
Right.
But I do, like my neighbor over here, my neighbor over there, everybody in my neighborhood, they're all in my district.
Right.
They're the people that I represent and that I care about and that I love. So
Right. Like
when I look at it and I see, you know, my son going to school, my son goes to public school,
right.
He goes to the elementary school just up the road that is part of my district. And when I see that and all the other kids of all of my neighbors and people that I have served with whose kids go to that school and I look at them, I don't think to myself like, man, I want to run for Congress so I can get rich and I can send my son to private school and screw everybody else. I got mine.
Yes.
I want to do it because not only do I care about the future of my child, I care about the future of our country and next generation. Where everybody should have the opportunity to live a good life.
Yes. And you used a word that's very important. I want to touch on that, love. We all got to have love for each other. Okay. This attitude of like America and we're all based in these racial groups and political groups. We fight each other. That doesn't work. That doesn't work short term or long term. We've seen the fallout of that now. You got to have love for your neighbor. And I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. Love thy neighbor. It's literally the most simple command given. Treat your neighbor like do unto others as you would have them do to you. And I think if we start approaching our government, our society, America as a whole from that perspective, we'll be a hell of a lot better. Anthony, in closing, where do people find you? Where do people go to support you? And any closing thoughts?
So I am running completely independent. I am running independent of any party at all whatsoever. It is
right. It
is me and the people.
Right.
Period. I'm already through primaries. The general election, obviously, November 3rd. You can find me at www.aguilarforcongress.com. There you can find plenty of opportunities to either donate time, to volunteer, to door knock, to make calls. To contribute in any way that you can. But the biggest thing that I would ask for anybody in North Carolina District 13, more so than your donation, more so than your volunteering, which those are great. Those are absolutely necessary, but more so than those things, the critical factor in all of this, the critical thing, the coup de grace is showing up to vote on November 3rd.
Right.
And voting. And I'm telling you, in this district, the incumbent Republican won his primary with 43,000 votes out of an eligible population of voters of about 716,000.
Wow.
Come on, District 13. If I can get 100,000 people, like typically if you see from primary to general, the winner will win if they've near doubled their primary vote. So if he gets 86,000, it'll be in a good. I can't get 100,000 people in the District of North Carolina 13 that want to take big money out of politics and want to stop selling our country to Israel or any other foreign government.
Right.
We want to stop with having endless data centers being built up and down the 87 corridor. I'm against all that.
Yes.
Or how about let's start as a baseline. Can I get 100,000 people in North Carolina District 13 that want to vote for a candidate that actually lives in your district? How about we just start there?
Right. Absolutely.
How about we just start right there?
Great points. It's your home and you care about your home and it's not his home. So what right does he have to say? Exactly. What right does he have to say that he cares if he doesn't live there? You do. Anthony Aguilar, thank you so much for joining me. We'll have you back on, talk about the data centers, all of it. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you. Take care and appreciate it.
100%. Take care. That's Anthony Aguilar, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be in the chair tomorrow as well, hosting War Room as well. Really look forward to doing that. Thank you, Anthony, and thank you, Suleiman, for being such a phenomenal guest today. I'll see you sometime in the very near future. I really appreciate it. Here's the thing, guys. If you're not out there supporting alternative media, independent media, and all that means, really, at a baseline level, is retweeting the show, supporting AJN, buying the products at realalexjonesstore.com, or, you know, here, I'll just give you a list. Subscribe to Dialogue Works on YouTube. Subscribe to Judge Napolitano on YouTube. Subscribe to Danny Haifong on YouTube. Subscribe to Due Dissidence on YouTube. Subscribe to any and all of these channels to get real news, to get real information, real interviews. Suleiman, Moral Resistance, of course. Moral Resistance, super important to follow. And here's the thing. From a monetary perspective, it's just like running a political campaign. We need fuel for the fight. Go to thealexjonesstore.com for the methylene blue, for the shirts, the belts, the apparel, all of it. I love you. Rex Jones News on Twitter. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.
Birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition. And then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this and the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny to 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, Ride Fast, Live Free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 Free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the Deep State. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean. Very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You're going to promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you really got to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. So, hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.